CEO's dirty little secret. And it's all legal.
Alan, you have been described by your enemies as evil, insane, manipulative. Who are you?
To examine it would be to like demystify it.
Okay, pick it with a tasty groove, okay?
Wow.
Definitely makes me cringe.
Very, very, very painful.
One, two, three, pick it. Pick it, come on. God damn it, could you one time pick it? What the f***?
You're It's showtime! It's the Alan Cox Show. 100.7.
You ignorant trick bastard.
WMMS.
Cleveland.
What's going on, everybody? Good afternoon. Hello, hello. Hi there. Hi there. Ho there. Willkommen, bienvenue, all that. My name is Alan Cox. Thank you for showing up. Say hi to Bill Squire, who's right over there.
Hey, creepy hugs, everyone. Thanks for listening to and watching this episode of the Alan Cox Show, titled The Fart of the Furious.
Too Fart, Too Furious?
Yes. I think we did that one before.
Oh, yeah?
Fart of the Furious.
The beauty of that is there are so many films in that franchise.
We can do it a lot.
Do it a lot.
A lot of fart jokes.
Sure. Hey, Mary Santora is right over there.
Hi, guys.
Oop.
Hi. Hi. There I am.
Sorry.
You're okay. No babies. Sitting here. A little tired, but...
Does the alarm still go off at 2 o'clock, or are you to the point now where you're like, I got it.
I put it... Well, I didn't want it to... It was on at 3, and that was like in the middle of segments and stuff, so I changed it to 1:50.
Oh.
So that way it's not going off during the show. Unless you like it, and then I can put it back
no,
at 2.
No, I appreciate that.
I didn't want to interrupt
the fewer distractions,
anything.
The better.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't... I know that female birth control... Can be very, it can be very tricky.
Yeah, I'll say like
10 minutes
hour.
Before. Okay.
I mean, I've been taking it at the same time every day for years, but like 1 hour earlier is not a big deal. It's like when you change it by like 8 hours, then your body doesn't know what's going on.
I was watching some TV last night, and there were a lot of commercials for Plan B. So we're in a golden age of, you know, being able to fix whatever potential screw-ups mm-hmm. might happen.
It's just one pill now, too.
And your fornication. One pill?
Mm-hmm.
Used
That's
to be
it.
Two?
Used to be two, that you have to take 12 hours apart from each other.
Mm-hmm. Do they offer it in suppositories?
Nothing
that
I know
of. Fun
of
way to
butt?
Do birth control. Why not?
That's the wrong part.
No, it still goes in your body.
Yeah, you still absorb
I guess.
It.
Yeah, I mean, the throat is the wrong part, too.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, I don't know if you know how babies work.
I don't. Yeah. I don't, you know? That's so funny.
If you're focused on the throat, you're never going to have any babies. Hey, Pound Cake's back behind the glass.
Afternoon, white people. Hey, Bill, have you ever came up with the title, The Defarted?
Ooh,
yes, I've done The Defarted.
I was going to say, because that's a really good one, so I figured you already came up with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, did that one a while ago.
Yeah, happy Friday, white people.
Mm-hmm. If you want to join us, I would certainly invite you to do that. 216-578-1007, 800-348-1007, 35192, if you want to send me a text, alancoxshow.com for everything else. You can use the keywords kilt run there, not the least of which, among everything else we got going on there. The details to join us along with the RMG crew for the second annual St. Paddy's Day 5K run and bar crawl. We figure I personally feel less guilty about doing a bar crawl if I've gotten a run in before mm-hmm. that. So we'll do the 5K early right downtown. And then the bar crawl will begin on West 6th at 9 o'clock at Dive Bar. But all the details are there for you. If you want to run with some of us, if you want to drink with some of us, we'd love to have you along. There's a link there if you want to register yourself for the 5K. But it's all there. And we're trying to break the world record for the largest kilt run. We missed it by only a couple hundred people last year. And it was very, very cold. I don't think it's supposed to be that cold this year. I would certainly hope to be able to break the record for the kilt run. I got a letter from Brian. He said, I love the show. Love when Mary Santora sits in.
Thanks, Brian.
She's very fun and lively.
Lively. Good word.
Lively sounds like one of those words that somebody, it's an adjective somebody uses when they can't. Lively.
I like that word.
It's not negative. It just strikes me as kind of like a, it's like an old-timey adjective for somebody, you know?
Would you prefer homely?
It's very, well, one applies to your physical appearance. The other one applies to your demeanor. But lively, you
bubbly.
Know.
Ooh,
she's very lively. Bubbly.
Same thing.
Whichever you like.
Bubbly's
yeah.
cuter.
That's right.
Yeah, I love bubbly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say lively.
That's Brian. He says, oh, and I'm going to do the 5K thing on St. Paddy's Day. So there
oh,
you
nice.
Go.
Nice.
Yeah. It took everything in my person to not text a line of LOLs to our former boss, Chris Tyler, affectionately known around these parts as Ball Rag.
Yeah.
Because Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, was caught in a prostitution sting.
Oh, man.
Now, first of all, you'd think that this guy would be three or four people removed from that process. There's no reason that a guy at his level should be the guy caught in a prostitution ring. I think this had actually been like a months-long human trafficking investigation. So it's not like they got him in a Holiday Inn. They did get him in a massage parlor. This is in Jupiter, Florida. He's a widower.
Yeah, man.
It's not like this, you know. Hot on the heels of the Pats winning another Super Bowl.
And him kissing Tom Brady on the lips.
Did
got him
really?
All horned
yeah,
up. Yeah,
it did. Misdemeanor solicitation of prostitution. Even if it were bigger than a misdemeanor. Gee, how is a billionaire going to get out of this one? And there, frankly, I think couldn't be a better time for something like this to happen. Because we are 5-6 years ago, this would have been a huge story. Now we're kind of in an age where seemingly nothing matters anymore. Nothing sticks to anyone.
Nothing no shocking.
No matter how. Jane's Addiction was correct when they predicted it some 20 years ago. Nothing shocking. So they issue a warrant for Robert Kraft.
A warrant? Really? For a misdemeanor?
Well, yeah. They said he hasn't been arrested, but he got caught up in a prostitution sting. There'd been a widespread crackdown on sex trafficking from Palm Beach to Orlando. This is particularly tough news for me since I'm going to be in Orlando for spring break. But good to know going in that they're keeping their peepers close in on people in the sex trafficking biz. They've issued hundreds of arrest warrants in the recent days, one of them for Patriots owner Robert Kraft. And again, and I know we have a lot of bureau chiefs in and around New England. I know we have them in Boston. We have them in New Hampshire, all the way up to Maine, right? This just underscores the fact that even the owner of the Patriots doesn't want to bang local Boston girls.
Did they catch him on video coming out of a place, or did he pay with a credit card or something?
They caught him twice videotaped paying for a sex act at a massage parlor.
So they can get you that way?
Happy ending.
I thought if you get away with it, like if you walk out of the room or they don't catch you in the act, You're essentially off the hook.
Well, they catch you in the act on video.
You realize
though.
Being videotaped is catching you in the act.
Well,
I think that counts. Like if I'm on videotape smoking weed or
they have you smoking. If a guy's on videotape robbing a convenience store, got him.
But that's
they don't have to run in and catch him.
I see intervention all the time where people are like smoking crack and they don't get arrested.
Well, that's a TV show. This is real life.
And also smoking crack.
But smoking crack is different than prostitution. There's different crimes, and again, he's not someone that they're going to throw the book at. He's going to have to pay a fine. It's not going to be that big of a deal.
Intervention is a show where the A&E crew films a guy smoking crack. It's not police video of a guy smoking crack. It's them showing him smoking crack.
But if he has rocks there, then...
Right, but they're not worried about the people that are doing drugs as much as they're worried about the people that are selling drugs.
Okay.
That's a lot more.
Just curious. Because I'm just saying.
Of a problem.
What if he ordered it one time and he's on, you know, surveillance?
How can they prove what he did in the room? Unless there's cameras in the room.
It sounds like there's cameras in the room.
Because I was like, if he's just paying for a massage and there's no cameras in the room, they can't really prove that he did anything sexual.
He lives in Massachusetts, has a home in the Palm Beach area. He is a frequent guest at Mar-a-Lago, although he's a Democrat. Sure, he's a Democrat. He's friendly with Trump. He's been dating. His wife died back in 2011. He's been dating a 39-year-old, he's 77,
whoa,
for the past few years.
I'm sure she's with him because she loves him.
Local of course. Police, frankly, there's way too much of a premium placed on, does she really love me? If I'm a billionaire and I'm 77 and I've got a hot 39-year-old on my arm, I don't care why she's with me. You know what
really?
I mean? Like, as a regular guy, anytime I was dating somebody way out of my league, I knew it wasn't going to last long. I didn't care. I was like, for as long as this lasts, we'll have fun. And I was a dude. I wasn't some billionaire. So if you're a guy who's super rich,
about to die anyways,
well, not even that. Like, there's gonna be another girl after her,
maybe,
who's gonna want to hang out with you. Like, what are you worried about? She's 39.
I'm surprised she's 39.
Like, she's 22. Yeah, but he's 77.
Yeah, get a 23-year-old. They looking for sugar daddy.
23-year-olds are insufferable.
Get a 19-year-old.
Even worse.
That's even worse.
Even worse.
Dummy.
Jupiter, Florida police said they were shocked to learn that Robert Kraft, who is worth $6 billion, was paying for sex inside the Orchids of Asia Day Spa, which, who could have ever seen that there was anything hinky going on over there? But, you know, if only would it be, but we'd been able to get him out to lovely Warren, Ohio.
Doesn't that sound like a slot machine? Orchids of Asia.
It kind of is. Right.
A slop machine?
A slop with those sloppers.
Ask to whip out those sloppers.
Slopper, slopper, slopper.
He Cha-ching. Did it. Anyway, congratulations, Patriots. I'm sure this actually makes him cooler among Patriots fans, you know.
And
looking for whatever they can pick up in kicks.
All football fans, probably. Sure. I think it's great. I think it's hilarious that a billionaire went to a place that I could also probably go.
Right.
Makes me feel like he's an everyman.
He's a man of the people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
He could just have someone come to his place. But instead he says, you know what? I'm going to go where the people go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a regular
be where
Joe.
The people are. Like, he's a Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, this was just, he was just a regular guy. I mean, a rich guy, but a regular dude who was a Patriots season ticket owner. And the team was threatening to move to St. Louis 20 years ago. And he goes, I don't want that. I'll buy them. There you go. That's how you do it. I want to keep him in New England. I don't want him going to St. Louis. The St. Louis Patriots.
No.
Ugh, so.
Studies show that listening to classical music can temporarily raise your IQ.
I feel pretty smart.
If you're looking for the opposite effect, just stay tuned.
The Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Girl, you make me want to get you pregnant. Girl, you make me want to get
right?
you pregnant.
I was not expecting that.
Lay your body down and get you pregnant.
This is a real song.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is.
It's R. Kelly. R. Kelly's been indicted in Cook County, by the way.
He'll
be holding a press conference at 3 o'clock.
Uh-oh.
He fought it off for the better part of two decades and spent a lot of his money defending himself in court.
That's a stupid question.
Kim Fox, who was the Illinois State's attorney, who, by the way, and I'm still not sure why, maybe they were pals, but the Illinois State's attorney, this Kim Fox, had to recuse herself from the Jussie Smollett case.
Hmm.
I don't know why, but anyway, they have announced charges against R. Kelly. They convened a grand jury, and this was, you know, remember a few days ago, Michael Avenatti, the Stormy Daniels lawyer, said that he handed over to the state's attorney's office a tape that showed R. Kelly allegedly having sex with a 14-year-old girl or something.
Gosh.
And so Cook County, which is the district attorney's office in the city of Chicago, they have indicted R. Kelly.
What does indicted mean?
It means that they're bringing him up on charges.
The highest IQ, everybody.
Right, no, but I don't know. But the legal jargon, I don't know what everything, like, that doesn't mean he got arrested. What does it mean?
It means that they have enough information to bring a case against him.
Got
It's basically a legal criminal accusation against R. Kelly.
Thing is, he's in Germany right now, so he ain't coming back here.
He
Make
has
it extradite him.
Doesn't he? Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, didn't he book like a big overseas? Like, he was.
But that's the only way he could
like
make
places,
money.
Places he's never played, like places where they still don't care, like Malaysia, Philippines.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, they care in the Philippines.
Huh?
Do they? They care in the Philippines, yeah.
About this kind of stuff?
Well, they care about...
I thought that was like Ladyboy Central.
Oh, they care about R. Kelly. They don't care about the allegations.
That's what I mean.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. Places where he can still draw, but they don't care about all the stuff around him.
They're just happy to have acts.
Right, nobody goes there.
Ladies and gentlemen of Manila, give it up for R. Kelly.
Hey, Malta. I give you R. Kelly.
Uh-huh. Last band that came through was Right Said Fred.
He should go to Alaska. He should do an Alaska tour.
Well, that North is America. So he'd get there. Right. He has been indicted, according to two sources, with the Illinois State's Attorney's Office in Cook County. So there you go. So
10 counts, right?
What's that?
10 counts.
Was it 10?
I saw 10.
I just saw it was indicted.
It was 10 counts.
He would have preferred to have been in the teens, but...
Hey!
Wacky Friday show!
Bill Squire did it, everybody! Yeah. All right. Yeah.
What?
Do you think he'll actually go to jail this time, though? Do you think we're doing
Bill
all this?
Bill Cosby went to jail. You can only outrun the long arm of the law for so long.
Today has just
and
been
he had a good run.
A day full of tea. Like all the drama with the
Robert Kraft?
The owner of the football team, the New England Patriots, you know, Tristan and Chloe are on the fritz, and then now
they're on the fritz. They're done, right?
They are done. But okay, so Kylie.
What came out? Did you retweet something?
Did something else come out today?
It was like a video of him having like a sevensome or something like that. There was like just a ton of naked girls around.
A video? That wasn't me.
Not a video. Something came out.
No, but the word on Tristan Thompson was this guy gave less than an F about getting caught up with any of that stuff. Right. He's like, he didn't
care.
The T is exceptional.
Alan Robert Kraft, what a career. 6 Super Bowl rings, 1 prostitution ring. What a career.
Man, let that man live.
Alan, I also heard that Robert Kraft isn't the biggest name in that sting. I can't wait to hear who that will be. Kraft was just trying to get his balls deflated again, says Brian. Manner. Yeah, I just don't know why you go to a public place. Like, have a girl come to your house. If you're going to get a rub and tug.
But again, I do like that he's just that horned up. At 77, he's like, I got to go get this taken care of. Now
he has a mega mansion, he could have a sex dungeon, but he
could have bought that place in whatever
he wanted
Philly.
It done like right then.
Right,
it's not a place you make an appointment for. You show up and go, who you got? Her? The old lady? I'll take the old lady. I need to get this done.
The old lady with two teeth.
I've gone into places like that with some buddies, like this is years ago, out of state, and I'm trying to keep identities safe here. Won't say which one. And we go in, and I'm the only one that's been in a situation like that before. So when they all come out, there's like 3 girls or 3 of us. And so the first girl comes out, and she's this cute little girl with some big boobs. And I'm like,
of 18,
let's
right?
Let's go. Yeah. Yeah, she was like small in stature.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like,
petite.
Let's do this. I go with her. Then there's 2 other ladies. One's kind of like middle-aged, and the other one's just like an old lady.
And where was this?
This is in New York.
Stateside?
Yeah.
I could not. I would be afraid there would be a cop on the other side of every door. I could never. I think even if I knew there was no cop, I couldn't do it. There's a part of me. I just.
It's so good.
It was.
I can't. I'm sure they are. I just could not look a strange woman in the eye and say, please do that. It's. I can't.
It's not a lot of eye contact.
Here's $50.
I got $100 for you.
It's just it's not informal. A matter of money. It's of course if you give it to them and they go anything else you like, you know. But I just couldn't do it.
It's
it's
like you're ordering a sandwich, you know, like Jimmy John's, so fast you'll freak.
I would feel awful because you read these stories about these women when the cops come in, they're like, I'm fine, but they're not fine. Like they're getting trafficked out of a storage container in the back,
and that's the
and
thing
the guy that runs the place is herding them back in there at the end of the day. Like these girls didn't sign up because they're like, I have 2 hands and nowhere to put them. Like they, you know, this is under duress,
right? And I haven't done this in over a decade. I felt really bad about it once I found out about how, like, they are trafficked.
Right.
Yes.
Some of them aren't, though. Some of them aren't trafficked. Some of them are out there just like, I just need, you know, this light bill paid, and I'm going to
do it. That's called trafficking.
It's a one-off.
Yeah. When
it's
you
a one-off.
When you get a nobody's doing this one time. Good job with the hander. You can go.
And the Asian ones are a lot of trafficking.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm thinking people who don't have a pimp. Like, if you don't have a pimp, I don't feel like you're trafficked. You're just, like,
but
trying to make some money on the
side. But then how else do they get into it? You think this is like a startup that people do? That they're like, hey, let's open up a massage parlor.
And by the way, there's only so long you're going to be a solo sex worker before somebody who's running a game is going to like absorb you into their organization, whether you like it or not.
It's so crazy. That whole world is so crazy to me.
There's people for hire.
I can't believe I did it, honestly.
Yeah, you
I was
did.
Just
was like, that like a bucket list thing, or were you like,
no,
you
I did this.
Like, I need this.
I just list. I couldn't get laid back then, so it was just how I would get contact with a woman.
You were a stripper, Scott. I can't believe it.
Early Bill, yeah, like 22-year-old Bill was.
Wow.
Yeah, he was. He had no confidence.
It's very horny.
Yeah.
Couldn't, no release.
Mm-mm.
Look at you.
Guys, almost 15 years.
Alan, we should start calling the Robert Kraft thing Filletgate. Sure. I don't know it was fillet, though, or hand. I don't know. Alan, I'm 26 and female, and I've never had the urge to call a man daddy until seeing you just now on the live stream.
Uh-oh.
Like that. Mm. The beard, the gray hair.
Look at you.
But I've grown my more than this before and have not gotten this reaction. This week, I've
it's
gotten all this reaction.
The scruff
the
is scruff the look
do
for
things
you.
For
but
women.
I've had the scruff before.
Mm-hmm. But
you got to get the scruff before the beard. I've had the full beard.
But
you start with the scruff.
Such, the scruff is such a temporary thing that it's only like that for a couple weeks, right? 2 weeks maybe?
Oh, it's like Haley's Comet.
Yeah.
Oh,
so you,
yeah.
There's a very...
It's like the Northern
minimal
Lights.
Minimal window
and
to
also,
get the scruff.
It means our live stream's growing because there's new viewers all the time. So that's a good thing.
26-year-old females, according to that text.
Mm, yeah.
All right.
That.
Let me ask you this.
Ready.
How do you feel about gazebos?
Ah.
26, mm-hmm. Because I can't do anything with this.
No.
Right? Somebody goes, ooh, I can't do anything with that. I'm a taken man. I'm a kept man.
I can call you Zaddy, though.
Huh?
I can call you Zaddy, though.
You can call me whatever you want, Punky.
Oh, thanks.
Zaddy.
Yeah, Alan Kraft should have gone to hand jobs out in Sandusky and not gotten it. Yeah. But that's for your nails.
Yeah.
Which,
speaking
by the way,
of nails,
Tuesday morning.
So soon. We're off Monday.
Yeah, we're out Monday, and then Tuesday morning, Poundcake and I go to Charles Scott to get our nails done for our polar blast punishments.
Dun, dun, dun.
I got to get all that specific information from you, by the way, too.
Your appointment's at 10:30.
Who am I talking to? Because if I walk
Charles
in there
Scott.
Go, I'm here to do my nails, they're going to go, I don't know who you are or why you're here.
Is Mr. Scott here?
I will for sure
get I need to know who I'm talking to.
Yes.
I can't just walk in there. That's my home salon.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully I don't.
They'll know who I am, and they'll go, why are you here for nails?
No, I think they all know, because when I went in there for a perm...
I need to know they know.
Everyone was coming in, and they're like, you're the perm guy? And I'm like, yeah.
I'm the perm guy.
All right.
They'll know.
That's great.
And you'll know. I'll get the name for you.
Hmm.
You want to pick a color that matches your scruff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A matches zaddy
my
color.
Scruff. Yeah, right.
Yeah, what's a good nail color for a zaddy?
What do you guys have in a zaddy color? Right. Uh-huh. Alan, maybe that girl just means you look old as shrimp, just like her dad. That could be it, too. Listen, but whatever.
You don't look like a dad of a 26-year-old.
I'm tired of thinking about it.
You
who cares, right?
But he could be. Mm-hmm.
I could be.
You could be, yeah.
I could be.
Technically.
Numerically.
Mm-hmm.
I could be. Yeah. If I were a real hoe in high school, right?
Sure.
And I had never heard of condoms before.
I mean, you could be in college at that point.
What, 26?
You're, what, 47?
I'll be 48 this summer.
Yeah, so you,
22.
Yeah, you could be.
A lot of 22-year-old parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are. You know.
Lots of them.
Sure. You get out into the hinterlands of Cuyahoga County.
Everywhere.
Oh, my God. You're 17. You're an old maid if you haven't squeezed one out yet.
That's why I like girls without dads, because I don't want to be close to their age.
Man.
Well,
that's my mom called me.
That's a sister organization to Doctors Without Borders. Girls Without Dads.
Without Dads.
Uh-huh. They're both doing good work.
Yeah.
Don't mind,
My mom called me a spinster the other day, and I had to look up what that was. I'm 29.
Why did she call it? That's what I'm saying. A spinster.
No, a spinster is like
an old maid.
Yeah. Like someone who's in their 50s
that's what I'm
and
saying.
Not married.
In Ohio, if you don't have a kid by 29, they're like, what are you waiting for?
Right.
I had five by 23.
She is. That's exactly. She had my older sister, my younger sister, I think she had when she was 35.
Yeah.
And that was like the last kid. But she started having kids when she was 20. But I forget what. I think she was joking, but I had never heard that term before.
I mean, I was
truth and jokes.
I was born when my mom was 21. Mm-hmm. I'm the oldest of four. And I go,
that's crazy.
God.
Think about that.
They were in an army base.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just sitting around smoking. I'm like, oh my God, 21 years old.
My sister had her baby when she was 18.
Man.
It's crazy.
My mom didn't have me until she was 33.
I think,
she had my brother at 30. And even now, I'm like 60 years away from 30. I'm like, or 4 years away from 30, I'm like, oh my God, I don't want any kids at 30. That's still too young.
I think about that. Like, I'm going to be, I just turned 29, and I'm like, man, my mom had four kids at this point. Four kids and a husband.
Women are
and
in a weird spot, though, because like,
you got, only got a couple of years.
Well, not a couple, but you do legit probably hear tick, tick, tick. If, I mean, if it's even in your brain that you might want to have kids, you're like, all right, well.
It's like six, I have like 6 years.
You're
left.
Up against mm-hmm. the clock of some kind, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have as much freedom as guys might.
It's not, I mean, yeah. I've never really wanted kids. It's never been a priority of
there
mine.
Are still, like, you know, like Alec Baldwin, this poor son of a bitch.
Yeah, he just gets had the, a kid
oh, my God. Yeah. He's got, like, four kids under 3 years old because he's got some hot young Brazilian Zumba teacher as his wife.
How old is he?
66, 60, I yeah. think, you know?
Oh, who cares? At that point, like, you can't spend all your money in that lifetime.
No, Alec Baldwin needs money. He has said it. He's like, that's why I do game shows and everything that gets thrown in front of me, because I need money.
Yeah, he never had, like, a huge
no,
payday.
Uh-uh.
He's been in the public eye for a long time, but he's not incredibly wealthy. Also, he's got divorces and
yeah.
other kids.
Damn. Yeah.
How many kids does he have?
Well, he's only got the one older, that, you know, when he was screaming at her on the voicemail 10 years ago, yeah. right?
Little pig.
Rude little pig.
Rude little pig.
Yeah. Ireland Baldwin, I think is her name. She's a model now, and, you know.
Ireland.
Yeah. He was married to Kim Basinger. It was a very Basinger. Acrimonious divorce.
Basinger.
I'm sorry?
Basinger.
Basset Hound. Were you saying words?
No.
No.
And I want to leave a message for you right now.
I can't remember if there are curse, if there's profanity in this or not.
We'll find out.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, because I don't want to dump it. If Anyway. I'll find it in the break, and I'm, you know, you are a rude, thoughtless little pig. And he took all this, you know. But
what
again,
what did she do?
This is when they were getting divorced. And, yeah, I think what you know, like she wanted to spend more time with her mom, and you know, him and Kim hated each other. And I was, you know, you gotta let some time go by. You gotta let your kids get older. You gotta, oh man,
I remember that.
It's only been the last couple of years that I think my ex-wife stopped like hating my guts.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's when my parents were going through a divorce, it was messy like that. My mom was, you know, pulling strings and yelling about stuff and making
stuff,
us feel bad about it.
No, I mean, neither of us ever talked shrimp about the other one to our kids.
No, yeah, but she would be if I wanted to go hang out with my dad for a Saturday or something, she'd be like, "Well, we were supposed to," you know what I mean?
Oh,
like get
I see.
Defensive that way, like choosing one over the other.
I see.
Kind of a thing. She never called me a rude little pig face or whatever he said.
A rude, thoughtless
a little
pig.
A little chubby wubby.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Huh.
Chubby wubby.
Ooh, I'm scared.
Here, hold on.
Here in New York on a Wednesday, and once again, I made an ass of myself. Trying to get you a phone to call you at a specific time.
Yeah, because you'd be like, call me here, call me that, you know.
Yeah.
And so he was screaming at her because he had stuff to do, and, you know. I like Alec Baldwin, but he's an angry guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Got some issues. Got in that fight.
Married a young girl, and she wanted, I want to start having children, you know. And now he has, I think, four kids under the age of five.
Have you That's seen, what's the movie with him and Meryl Streep? It's basically this story.
It's complicated.
Is that what it is? I think that might be the name of it.
Like she's
married.
The neighbor or something.
No, they're married, and then they get divorced.
Is Steve Martin in it?
Steve Martin is like her new love interest. But yeah, they're married, and they've been married for years, and then they get divorced, and he gets a hot, like hot young Latino wife.
But
who
then
wants
they start hooking
kids,
up,
and then Meryl Streep and him start hooking up again.
It's complicated,
dude.
That
that's,
does
it's
sound
a,
complicated.
It's a really good.
It
movie.
Sure does.
It's such a cute.
It was released on Christmas Day. Can you believe that?
It was good.
A Nancy Meyers movie. Oh, boy.
I'm a sucker for those, though.
We know.
Yeah.
For rom-coms?
I love rom-coms.
So you like Something's Gotta Give
I
with Jack Nicholson and Keanu Reeves and
bacon
Amanda
in my
Peet.
Pocket. Is that that one?
What's why?
Where he has bacon in his pocket to attract the dog.
Don't know about that. No,
that's Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, but that's the Greg Kinnear one.
Oh, that's as good as it gets.
As good
oh,
as it
see,
gets.
See, they're all the same. Yeah. But I will. I fall in love with the story, and I cry, and I'm like, I'm meant to be together.
You do?
I do.
According to the script, they were meant to be together.
I know. It's so stupid. I love love, and I watch those stupid movies.
What
it's
I
not
like.
Love.
What, no, but what.
It is pretend, but it makes me believe in
Listen,
love.
All movies are pretend. I get it. It's fine. Right. Some of them I
yeah,
like.
Yeah, coming from comic book hero over
Yeah, but
here.
I don't go, oh, I really hope I get superpowers.
Yeah, but that's different than falling
cool.
in love.
Well, love is
right.
also a superpower.
Well, but superpowers superpowers aren't real. Love, Bill,
is real.
I hate to tell you this, is real from what I've experienced.
Prove it.
Prove it.
Thanks, Poundcake.
I see logic on love.
Love is real. You just haven't found it
yet. Show me proof. What does it look like?
It looks
put
like
it on the table right
gazing
now.
Into each other's eyes.
Pound cake.
And kissing goodbye softly.
That's ecstasy.
No, that's love.
That's lust.
And giving anything for another person and doing anything to love. Help them. You don't think that that's love?
No, I think that's stupid.
No. See, you have are boundaries. Too logical to have this conversation.
You have to have boundaries.
If you love someone like so much with your whole heart, you would do anything for them.
No.
Yes. I disagree.
Poundcake, it's a fool who looks for logic in the chambers of the human heart.
See?
Okay.
What he said.
What I like about rom-coms is they still have to be professionally cast.
Mm-hmm.
So they go, okay, who are the hot actors and actresses right now? There's a movie called The Holiday, okay, where it's Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet and their friends, and they go, hey, let's swap vacations. I'll go to your British cottage and you'll come to my house, whatever, right? And so, obviously, Cameron Diaz goes overseas and runs into Jude Law, who's Kate Winslet's neighbor or something, and that, you know, and then Kate Winslet comes to the United States, runs into...
Jack Black!
And they begin, yeah, right. Because he was hot at the time.
He
in
doesn't
06.
Deserve love.
Jack Black and Kate Winslet.
Makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, she doesn't deserve love for not getting, like, scooting over on that door.
Yeah, what was that about?
What?
What a jerk.
There was room
in
for
Titanic.
Oh, Titanic, yeah.
I'll never let go. You let go.
Yeah. Father of the Bride.
Like 3 minutes later.
Father of the Bride, so cute. Yeah.
I went to school with that girl, Kimberly Williams.
Did you really?
Yeah, and everybody hated her guts because she got the role while she was still at school. And I was like, hey. Like, I kind of knew her.
In college, you're talking about?
Yeah. At Northwestern. And everybody was like, you know, I'm like, good for her.
Yeah.
She's in a movie.
That's
she
awesome.
Married Brad Paisley, you know. Good for her. Why does everybody got to hate?
Hello.
Alexa, play 100.7 WMMS on iHeartRadio.
Here you go.
From the Final Touch Construction Roofing Expert Studios, it's the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Cleveland.
An iHeartRadio station.
(216) 578-1007 to join us, or 800-348-1007. Comedian Dimitri Martin going to join us on the phone shortly, around 3 o'clock. 1 week from tonight, he's in town for the Wandering Mind Tour. He'll do a show at the Agora. There may still be some tickets available. You could hit up Ticketmaster for the info.
Not many,
is
from what I hear.
Bill Squire a part of that show?
Still waiting on a confirmation from his people, so maybe we'll just ask him.
All right.
Put him on the spot. Yeah. On
I'm
the
sure
phone.
He'll know.
Yeah. Hey, right. Can I get a spot?
That'd be great if he's just like, yeah, I don't want you, Bill.
No, thanks, man. I'm bringing my own
Who's opening for you? Some local guy. I don't know.
Well, they requested someone.
So we will talk to him shortly. Comedian Bobby Collins, one of my favorites. He's going to be in here around 4:20. He is at Hilarities all this weekend. They got snow in L.A. I was talking to a buddy of mine that lives out there. Snow. Las Vegas got a snow day. L.A. got snow. West Hollywood got some.
Those people freaking out, man, I bet.
Yeah, some people freaking out. I mean, we've all been to L.A. I lived there for a little while. Traffic is bad enough.
Oh, boy.
Now imagine
Now,
again, it's not like an inch. I mean, you get a dusting, but in Los Angeles, you know, you get a little bit of snow. But
I'm sure it freaks everybody out.
But imagine driving through the hills of like, Hollywood or Beverly Hills and all those, like, super tight roads that you have to go up and the mountains. I'm like,
but it's not enough to is it enough to stick?
No. Like I said, it's a dusting. It's not like they got 2 inches of snow. But, like... In high desert, you know, like Denver is considered high desert. Flagstaff, Arizona got hammered with snow.
That's crazy.
So there's parts of Arizona where, like, well, you know, people spun out and they're crashing their cars. You don't expect that when you're living in any part of Arizona.
But I've been through Flagstaff before, and when I was there, it was snowing. So, like,
because it's mountainous, but they don't get a blizzard.
Right, you know? But, like, it's a higher elevation, so they get... It's more likely to happen there than a place like
Phoenix
or whatever.
I think this is cool. So now everybody's screwed equally. Like, we're all on the same playing field. So I actually kind of like it.
It makes me laugh that the people who lived in California their whole lives are probably just freaking out. Where they're just like, you would move to L.A. or California to be away from all of that.
Yeah, but
it's still pretty nice out there.
They've also dealt with
earthquakes and fire.
Mudslides and stuff like that. So snow, they're probably just like, oh, this is cute.
It is cute. It's very cute.
Yeah, and it's gonna probably be gone by the middle of the day. Like,
right.
It's not gonna ruin the city.
You were a cheerleader in college in high school, right?
Yep.
Did you read the story about the cheerleaders at a Wisconsin high school? They had body shaming awards at the cheerleading banquet.
What?
Mm-hmm.
No. What was it?
This at Tremper High School in Kenosha. They had an annual banquet to celebrate the achievements of the cheerleading squad. And some parents were upset because they had a big booby award for the girl with the biggest breasts.
And what's that?
Wait, that's body shaming? That's body, like, that's a reward, yeah.
But it's calling out a girl with giant
boobs. Was it called the
boobs.
Sassy Slappers Award?
It was not called that.
Boobs.
The String Bean Award went to a freshman who was so light and skinny. I hear a little bit of it, and parents were not happy.
There were three body shaming awards that were given out, and they were titled the Big Booby Struby Award for the...
Big Booby Struby. I don't know.
I've never heard of that.
Maybe that's a Wisconsin thing.
I don't think these are body shaming awards. These are body awareness awards. Like you're
but you're calling out a girl who's like, she's got the biggest boobs.
As a goof.
I guess.
As a goof. And again, everybody knows she's got the biggest boobs. It's not like
they're just finding it out.
There was a big booty award for another girl.
Here's a... I'm just wondering if it's like part of that participation trophy where like these girls didn't have enough skills to get a real award, so they had to make them up individually. Like, what are we going to do for
Dundies?
Sarah? Yeah, like, what, she doesn't do anything, man.
The String Bean Award.
Right.
Whitest Tennis Shoes Award.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Big Booby Struby Award for the girl with the biggest breasts, the Biggest Booty Award for the girl with the biggest buttocks, and the String Bean Award for the skinniest girl. Saying that I'm disappointed is an understatement. I can't believe.
Now, is that a girl who lost or is that a parent?
It sounds like a coach.
Yeah, it sounds like a parent or a coach that didn't get an award and is jealous.
I can't believe that not only would my old school district engage and allow this type of behavior, but that it was swept under the rug. In no universe is it a joke for an adult to comment on a minor's body.
There are students that struggle with things like that, and I just think...
Okay, so I thought it was students giving students awards. I didn't know it was...
Those sports awards are, like, generally from the coaches to the squad or things
awards,
like that.
So I don't know how that works.
I always won, like, I got... Energizer Bunny Award one time.
Yeah.
I got an Above and Beyond. I got like an MVP and I got 110% award. When I do things, I do it wholeheartedly, you know? But we never had anything like that. It was like stuff that is.
What would you have won?
110%. You know, like, good job. You went above and beyond. What
would your award be? What would your body award be? This is a question for everyone.
Oh, in high school?
In high school, yeah.
My body award would probably... I would flexibility? I had a very, like, boxy, like,
boxy.
Boy body. I had no curves.
You were built like a Lego?
I had no curves in high school.
You were a straight line from the shoulder to the heel.
I had no boobs. Yeah. I mean, I had muscular legs from cheering, but it wasn't like I wasn't anything hot. I don't know what my body would be.
Box
award?
I'd be like the growth spurt award, because when I was a freshman in high school, I was like 5 foot tall. And by the time I graduated, I was 6 foot.
Huh. Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
I wouldn't have had any... I think the only award I would have gotten when I was a high school wrestler and wasn't very good was I held the dubious distinction of having technically pinned myself.
Good for you, man.
It took a long time for me to live that down. And the fact that
you did it, Jesse Smollett. Congratulations, you're an innovator, Alan.
Look at you.
I smulleted myself.
Smulleted award.
He's a noun.
I had a mullet. It was Jesse Mullet is what they
call it. Oh, that's so good.
But the fact that it springs to my mind so readily means that maybe I'm not over it yet. Let me do a palate cleanser and talk to Dimitri Martin here, because he's a thin guy, and I don't know. Have you ever been body shamed, Dimitri?
Yeah, I mean, my nose is part of my body, so sure.
Have you been nose shamed?
I'd say, yeah. I'm from Jersey Shore, so yeah, all kinds of things.
Really? Is that a particular point of contention with people who live on the Jersey Shore? They're like, we only like small noses in this part of the Eastern Seaboard.
No, I think just where I'm from, it's whatever they can get you on. Anything extraordinary.
Well, like when you know, the old axiom about, like, you know, kids are candid, which is a nice way of saying kids are brutal. Kids just will say whatever. And there is that weird transition from when it's like, oh, it's just little kids being candid, to kids taking specific aim on somebody.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. Like, if we could harness some of that brutality. I guess that's what the internet is, but yeah.
Pretty yeah, the internet is focused brutality. Yeah. That's right. Dimitri Martin is here in town. Play the Agora 1 week from tonight on the Wandering Mind Tour. His latest hour on Netflix is called The Overthinker, which I've watched a couple of times now. I've noticed that with a Dimitri Martin show, whether you watch it or whether you see it live, whether you intend to or not, there's like little things that you might not have picked up the first time that you get to pick up the second time.
Yeah, you know, I'm 22 years in now, and for whatever reason, I've always loved jokes. And over the years, now that I've gotten to do some specials, by the time I get to shoot a special, I've tried to pack it so tightly with all the jokes, because a lot of them are shorter jokes. So if it's an hour, you know, there's like 100-something jokes in there. So it could be worth watching a couple times.
And there's beauty in a perfectly crafted one-liner, too. I feel like one-liners have kind of this old-school tinge to them, or people think of them that way. But, I mean, to me, the more compact and well-edited you can get a joke, the better. And one-liners, and you have a handful of those in there, that, to me, is like the epitome of well-crafted stuff.
Yeah, I think I really love Stephen Wright. When I was in high school, I saw him on TV. This was back in the 80s. That was probably the first time I saw somebody with some, just telling a bunch of really good one-liners. And, of course, Rodney Dangerfield. And I just read a couple of Jack Handy jokes somehow I stumbled on today that were just so funny. It's amazing when someone can think of a really, you know, super short. Like, there was this Jack Handy thing I read that I just loved, which was, I'd rather be rich than stupid.
Of course you would, sure, yeah. He's really peeling back the onion there.
It's so economical. Not like it's going to change your life, but I'm just like, wow, it's so many words. Just packs such a punch, you know?
Did you start out, you said 22 years in, let's say 6 months in or year one in, had you started from the jump saying, I really like Stephen Wright's style, that's kind of going to be more my style, or did you start in a more traditional way and kind of evolve into that?
I think I started the first night I went up. I remember I had 12 jokes. So I don't know how consciously I was trying to do Stephen Wright, but it certainly was my influence. But when I tried to write jokes, they kind of came out pretty short. And, I mean, I was like on the math team and the physics team and all this stuff when I was in high school. So I was very popular. Jersey Shore.
Of course, yes. The nose, the physics, it all worked together.
Yeah, it was good for me. So by the time I came to write jokes, I was like, for me, it was all about puzzles, I guess. It was just the game of trying to figure out how to get an idea across, you know, with as few words as possible. So that's where I started. I kind of...
Well, I think you and you also have to. are you all right? Did you bump with your nose or what have you? Okay.
Yeah, he knocked over a building he was building. Luckily, it wasn't something a real one.
Good.
right next to me.
Yeah, Godzilla's in the house, and I've got to leave now.
He's young, so it's not like he's like not like a 20-year-old guy who's building stuff in a living room. He's five. So
sure. Okay. Well. If everything works out the way it's supposed to, he will eventually be a 20-year-old.
That's right.
Which is good. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's a plus. You know, it's a small price to pay to have him kick some things over. Well, the Stephen Wright thing is, I love having Stephen Wright on the show. Last time you were on the show, we were talking about gardening. I don't know how we got on it, but talking about... I don't know. I don't even know how he got on it. But
I remember that.
Yeah. Right. But a guy like Stephen Wright, you know, it's you already have to have a mind like that because, you know, every comic has his or her influences where you can kind of mimic their style. But that is a style where, you know, not anybody can look at that and go, oh, I can do that. Like, I think of Jonathan Winters for people who go a little bit further back. Nobody looked at him and said, I could do that. So, you know, I think you kind of have to have a mind like that going in like you do.
I think so. I think maybe it's also maybe what attracts you if you're seeing maybe something similar to your own sense of humor out there that speaks to you. But I mean, one of the cool things about stand-up is you have the audiences, so they're telling you along the way what's working and what's not. So
yeah.
You can't get too far from, you know, they don't fool you on purpose. They'll be quiet they're very honest live audiences. And then the other thing is, if you've been doing it a while, like, you kind of can't escape yourself. So even if you're trying to be someone else, after a while, you know, yourself just comes out. It's just like you're fighting nature.
Right.
To just do that for too long, you know. So it's kind of nice. It's, I think it leads to honesty.
Well, and it always made me laugh because Colin Quinn or Jerry Seinfeld or one of those guys said that comedy is the closest form to justice. And I always thought that was like, that's a cool, pithy little line. But, you know, you can do stuff. We've all talked about you can do stuff that murders in one room and another one. It doesn't really. And so, you know, cumulatively, you have to figure out, OK, does this objectively work or does this not?
Yeah. And I haven't done much. I've done radio interviews, obviously, over the years, but I don't have a podcast, and I've never done any sort of extended radio comedy. So it is always interesting to me, too.
Neither have we.
Your feedback loop is. Yeah, no, I was going to say, because your feedback I'm sure you kind of feel it over time. I'm sure ratings and stuff, but also when you run into people, you know, you get a sense of what's like really working. Right, but like when I work on books, I'm writing stories and stuff, but it's not like stand-up. I got to kind of, there's a delayed release to it.
Yeah, there's no instant gratification. You're like, boy, I hope that people who like me live like me written. You know, you hope that it translates, even though different formats.
Yeah, like the honesty of the live audience is, it's like a weird, uncomfortable luxury. Like, it really does teach you pretty quick what's up.
That was the hardest thing for me 100 years ago, because I started out in stand-up and then kind of fell into radio, because I thought all my peers got into radio because they loved music, and you find out very quickly that you're doing radio, that you're not picking the music. So I was like, well, radio would be a great way to do long-form comedy. But the hardest transition to make was, you're going, oh, I'm doing this, but I have no instant feedback at all. You know, you're just sitting in a room and hoping that it works, you know, and finding out once a quarter if it does.
Yeah, that reminds me of sometimes when I'm on the phone with somebody and the connection, the call is dropped, but I don't know it. I don't know how long I was talking, and then you're like, oh man, what just happened? It just makes you question everything. Like, who am I? Like, can you know what I mean? So like, you're talking to yourself. It would be like if somebody played a joke on you guys. I've been in a lot of studios where there's no window or anything.
Right.
So, you know, there is a thing, depending on how well built that building is that you're in, like, part of the world could have blown up, and you're still like, you know, the signal could be dead, and you're like, wow, we just did like an hour, I didn't know. I know the technology doesn't really work like that, but it's interesting to think of like a weird, just like, bunker that you could end up in.
Well, conversely, we're on the fourth floor, we have a lot of windows here, which would be great if something really did blow up, because we'd have a bird's eye view to the whole thing. So that wouldn't be so bad. I mean, you know, it would be. What I like is the moment where you're not sure if the phone line cut out. So you're talking, and then you naturally stop as you would, and you don't hear anything, and then you have to go, they're either really digesting what I just said because it was so amazing, or they're not even on the line anymore.
Yeah, that's that critical moment, and I do the math really quickly and say, like, all right, so how long was I talking for? Just like, how long a run did I go on here?
And then you call them back and they go, hey, I'm so sorry, I didn't hear anything after hello. And then you got to go, oh, do I want to recreate the conversation? Right. Or do I? Was it really that?
I got to improvise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dimitri.
I have a question. There's a mall. I have a quick question. Like, I stayed in Cleveland once and I went to a mall where there's like a little Greek place and stuff, but it seemed like it was on its last legs. Would that mall still be there?
The Galleria?
Every mall?
Galleria or Tower City.
Yeah, probably Galleria or Tower City. Those
was it downtown?
Yeah, Galleria.
I thought the Galleria was Tower City.
No,
the Galleria is not Tower City. Mm-hmm. No. What's the Greek place in the Galleria?
I don't know that there is one. I worked there for like 7 years.
Stavros McDonald's?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. We've got the Spinacopita burger for only $1.50. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I always like when you're on. We look forward to the show. Dimitri Martin, I watch him on Netflix, obviously. The new hour is up there. And the show next Friday night at the Agora. You can look for tickets online. The Overthinker is the new hour on Netflix. And he's got books. You can find This Is a Book. Wherever you buy your printed word is where you'll find some Dimitri Martin. So thank you, brother. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, mate. Take care. Here's Dimitri Martin.
Love that dude.
Oh, so good.
He's such a funny dude.
Yeah, and Bill, I'm sorry. I was going to ask him if you were on the bill.
No, I didn't want to put him on the spot like that. They'll get back to me and we'll find out.
What I should have done was ask him and then cut the line out.
Yeah, that
right?
Been
so
best.
We wouldn't have known. Yeah. If he go, yes, he is. Hey! Oh.
Bill, I've been waiting to tell you I actually took that spot opening for Dimitri.
Oh. Kill you.
No, you're busy.
No, I'm not. I'm off next Friday and Saturday. My weekend got canceled.
But tonight's final Friday.
It is.
Oh, at the Battery Park Pub.
What, Alan?
What?
Sold out.
What?
Would you believe it?
Even with Bill Squire headlining?
Even with Bill, despite Bill Squire.
Amazing. Wow.
But if you do still want to come, I mean, sometimes people don't show up for the reservations, and we're going to have some standing room in the back. So swing by if you planned on it, but all the actual seats are sold. So
there are tickets available for my show tomorrow in Willoughby,
which is my 7-year comedy anniversary.
Yes. Tomorrow is,
and she's not on that show.
Oh, so you won't be doing a quid pro quo on Bill's birthday show? No. Not even a walk on?
No, I'm in Michigan tomorrow.
What has that got to do with anything?
I can't be in two places at once.
You've never seen Time Cop?
I have not.
Yeah, you should.
Love is my superpower, Alan. Not time travel.
All right.
Going back real quick before we go to break.
Yes.
A girl messaged me and said that she also did like cheerleader awards, and she got an award for the Does the Carpet Match the Drapes Award.
Oh my God.
So,
what school was that? That was a local school?
I'm not sure what school, but.
What color were her drapes? Where they thought that was.
I think red.
Probably red. Usually that's the question.
And then.
It's safe to assume Mary's carpet's probably. No carpet. All right. Yeah. Hardwood floors.
Yep.
Welcome back.
Local DJ and all around female orgasm denier, Alan Cox.
This is the Alan Cox Show
on 100.7.
Hello.
Alexa, play 100.7 WMMS on iHeartRadio.
Here you go.
From the Final Touch Construction Roofing Expert Studios, it's the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Cleveland.
An iHeartRadio station.
This is the new Motley Crue with MGK. It's called The Dirt, because MGK is playing Tommy Lee in the Netflix biopic of Motley Crue, which will hit 1 month from today. March 22 is when it drops, but it doesn't sound like Vince Neil.
No, it sounds like a little, like, I don't know. No, it sounds weird.
MGK, the first Motley Crue song, and I guess since they stopped touring, maybe, as they did with MGK. I don't know who the other guys are that play the other members of Motley Crue. MGK, I think, was the top line guy in that.
There's a dude that's on Game of Thrones that I think plays. Who does he play? I think he plays Nikki Six or something.
Okay.
Kit Harington?
No, not Kit. It's
Jon Snow is playing
Ramsay. The demented guy.
Yeah.
He's messed up.
Yeah, he is.
Hmm. All right. Anyway, so that'll be... And the MGK Eminem beef has been rekindled. Eminem was on stage in Australia a few nights ago, and people were taunting him or yelling something at him about MGK, because they had that back and forth for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Where who did Kill Shot? Was that Eminem or MGK?
MGK's was Rap Devil.
Rap Devil!
Mm-hmm.
And then Kill Shot. So I think people were chanting Kill Shot at him, trying to get him. And he's like, I'm not doing it. He called him all kinds of names from the stage. And Machine Gun Kelly firing back, saying that Kill Shot is weak.
The lyrics in it were so much better.
Than MGK's?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I liked MGK's song. It was really catchy.
I mean, I guess we're in an age now where you can't just let something sit.
Mm-hmm. No.
Especially in rap.
Why would you?
You gotta respond. Because you're Eminem. I guess I'm old school, where I go, if you're the guy up, like, never punch
you're
down.
You're the guy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but...
But how do you let some youngin' come at you like that?
That's the natural order of things. Mm-hmm. They're going to.
And you just let it happen? Let it go? Be the bigger man?
I would say something. I don't think I would make a song about him. I mean, because you're kind of putting yourself on equal footing there. That's just my thought.
Yeah.
Like... Obviously, Eminem, not one to let these things go.
But so Eminem kind of brought up Machine Gun Kelly, like, did a whole song about him on his new album, so whatever.
But this is exactly what you want if you're Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh my God,
I can't believe Eminem is coming back.
Don't take the bait. It's in our mission statement.
What did I tell you? It's the most recent edition, number 28. It's right under There Are No Dry Bubbles.
What is that?
These are all out of context. It's always fun to find fun when things aren't fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another recent edition.
That's fun.
I mean, if I'm Eminem and MGK is throwing something out at me, it'd be like, you go, Youngblood, whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. Because what you do is you put all that stuff in a song. You're like, I was doing stuff when you were, you know? Like, okay, cool, man, you know?
Why aren't you a rapper?
Who says I'm not?
I didn't know.
Little Cashew Tooth.
Yeah. What? That's my rap alias, Little Cashew Tooth.
It's going to be his Halloween costume, but he pussied out.
Oh, Alan.
Did I? Yeah. Oh, the face tattoos.
Yeah, you know the
face. Yeah, that's right.
They were
very upset.
It would have been silly.
Yeah.
It would have been silly.
Alan, what if Mary's new friend is listening to the show today?
He doesn't listen.
But even if he did, I mean,
you didn't say
anything that
would
be untoward.
I didn't say anything bad. I was very excited about it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not going to obviously give away any, like, his name or, you know what I mean? Anything crazy. Just had a good time with the guy.
My favorite woman in the news today is a neighbor who was asked for a comment on her neighbor who shot her pet llama in self-defense.
Self-defense?
Well, you know, llamas are cute, but boy, if they come after you.
Those don't spit.
Llamas and alpacas spit? And llamas and alpacas, I think, might spit. But this is a 67-year-old woman in Louisiana, Madeleine Bourgeois, one of the greatest Louisiana names ever, by the way, facing animal cruelty charges for shooting her pet llama.
A.K.A. Llama Drama.
That's right.
Llama Drama.
She claims attacked her last week. The deputy said that Earl, the llama...
This is amazing.
Attacked her while she was working in her pasture. She hit the llama repeatedly and returned with a gun and fired several shots at the llama. Earl was not killed from the gunshots, but the cops found him limping. He was treated for a fractured rib and gunshot wounds.
Poor llama. Poor Earl.
Earl.
I feel bad for Earl because she was able to get away from him.
Why was he attacking her?
If she was able to go and get the gun... Then she could have just stayed inside and been safe.
That's right.
He was in his pasture.
And that's what they said. Yeah. They go, she could have called a vet. She could have, you know. But the neighbor is my favorite person in this.
Yeah, we would always see the llama outside eating grass. I mean, it was pretty tall. It was almost my height. Good size, nice llama. I mean, it was a gentle pet. But
good size, nice llama. Mm-hmm. That's an accurate description.
I wouldn't know nice what a good size llama is, but I guess if you're... living next door to one.
How big are they
know.
Supposed to be?
They're tall.
Llama-sized.
Llama-sized. Llama face. Yeah. All I can hear is the Emperor's New Groove.
Man, the police sketch artist is here. Could you give us a description of the llama?
Good size. Nice llama.
Mm-hmm, thank you. I think we might have him now.
I mean, it was a gentle pet, but we wouldn't get close to it. So it was a pretty animal. It was gorgeous. I wouldn't think it was cruel to animals like that. I mean, she was a nice lady. Just don't know what's going to go on in the neighborhood. I mean, they shooting llamas.
Yes, you do not know what's going to go on in the neighborhood.
No.
They shooting llamas.
Shooting llamas.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
They shoot llamas out here.
That wasn't a llama.
Nope. They shooting everybody out here. Llamas. Oh, well, thank you, ma'am. Anybody down for meat cereal?
Nope.
Okay.
What?
Are you sure?
Yeah, I want to try it.
No, with milk?
It's like a milk steak, yeah.
Milk steak? What?
Mm. You will never find a better milk steak in an arcade setting, Charlie. Post. And this is not like some, you know, GoFundMe cereal company. This is Post. Making, because National Cereal Day is coming up, I guess. And so they are releasing honey brunches of oats. Chicken and waffles, maple bacon donuts. Those are the two. One of them, of course, flavored like bacon. The other one flavored like chicken and waffles.
You know
so
what,
they don't
though?
Actually
no,
have
it's not meat.
In
it's
there.
Not like...
Chicken and bacon.
But you flavoring. Made it sound like it was going to be like dried meat cubes. And then
meat
you pour
cereal?
Milk on it. Yeah.
Huh. So you're saying I should have specified meat-flavored cereal.
Yes.
There's a
I'm picturing, like, okay, have you ever had Special K with strawberries? Like, those, like, dried strawberries, except with, like,
you're thinking, like, ham
tips.
Cubes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like a bacon jerky.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying, then, that you wouldn't eat ham cube cereal.
No.
Milk ham cubes,
like,
no.
You take some like Crispix or something and put some bacon bits in it.
No.
Mm. They stay crispy in the milk.
I don't mind this idea, though. That's like a sweet savory kind of thing you got going on. Might be
yeah,
good.
I guess I would try it.
It's going to be available at Walmart stores for a limited time. Once they're gone, they're gone. So if you're a fan of chicken und waffles or maple bacon donuts, look for both of those. I imagine they're probably focusing more on the waffle part than the chicken part.
It's probably just going to be like a savory aftertaste. That doesn't sound appealing.
Savory aftertaste is at the Beachland Ballroom this weekend.
I don't want it to be the aftertaste.
If you like
I
jam bands.
You want it to be before.
I want it to be while I'm tasting. I don't like an aftertaste.
You don't like the
I don't want to be eating something though. And then go, well, that's new.
You like half an hour later, it's coming up on you. Yeah.
Not a big fan of the old aftertaste.
Yeah, right after birth.
Or that.
Yeah.
The taste of the afterbirth.
That's what I'm talking about.
I like the taste of it. I don't like the aftertaste.
The aftertaste.
You don't like the aftertaste of the afterbirth.
I want it right on. I don't need it to linger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taste the birth.
Right.
Gross.
Charles Barkley had some words for the Jussie Smollett situation during the TNT NBA halftime show. He was making fun of Jussie Smollett. His name's Jussie. Not the superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, but the guy under him who was explaining everything, like the commander or whatever, during that whole press conference yesterday kept calling him Jussie.
You think he did it on purpose?
And No, I don't think so. I think the guy just, it didn't occur to him that the guy's name was Jussie. I don't know. It's an odd name.
Yeah,
I don't know
Jussie's
what Jussie
a weird name.
Is.
I've never heard Jussie before. Is it?
Kept calling him Jussie.
Short for something?
Justina?
I don't know.
Justin?
Just lying?
Just lying?
So Charles Barkley went in on him, and you know everybody Barkley kind of like, oh, Charles is crazy, and then everyone else kind of out in the Twitterverse is left to clutch their pearls. But I think Barkley's funny; he's the epitome of who cares, right?
Yeah, I was going to say what he's
doing
say.
My thing.
That's
and
why he's
money.
Got that job.
Yeah,
that's the most ridiculous one over there that's still living. That what you would say has no chance of happening.
Two black guys beating the black guy up.
And have a
that's not on here, man. The Clippers, well, the Clippers will not make the playoffs.
And, trying to keep going.
What kind of hats they had on?
Baggers
hat.
Right, I think that's probably.
What is that noise?
One of the other guys laughing. Yeah.
Wait, I didn't get it. What did he say?
So they've got like this.
They're talking basketball.
Yeah, they have a wall with a bunch of post-it notes on it, which are like end of the season scenarios. And so they start the segment by walking over this wall and going, which do you think is the least likely to happen?
So it's like
Barkley goes, two black guys beating up another black guy.
So yeah, it's all these different things that could happen in the NBA. The Lakers miss the playoffs. Kevin Durant and the Warriors don't win the championship, stuff like that. But then Barkley makes a joke about it, and they are all caught off guard. And the best part to me is the crew laughing in the background, and you hear the echoey laugh.
Yeah.
Where they're just dying.
They're off camera, just trying to hold it together.
Because you just basically, when Charles Barkley's there, you end up being a default straight man.
Right.
You just have to keep the train on track while he does his thing.
Right.
Okay. The Lakers will not make the playoffs. The Kings will is the latest edition. Go ahead, Kenny. I can't believe you, Chuck.
You're paying with cash. You're paying with cash or you write him a check, Chuck. Never break. Hey, listen, America. America. Let me just tell you something.
What's that?
Do not commit crimes with checks.
That Jussie Smollett, by the way, he was back on set at Empire, and they said they're cutting him from the last two. But this guy is saying, I swear to God he didn't do this. He's begging the cast and crew to believe him. He's like, I'm so, you know. And so half the people on this staff, I think they feel torn in this Empire show. They're like, get this guy out of here.
What does Taraji say?
Some of them are still, I don't know, Taraji P. Henson.
If she forgives, I will forgive him. If she forgives, Taraji all right. knows all.
Okay. So saith Penda.
No, what did you say yesterday? I said peanut butter. But that wasn't
I don't know. Penelope?
Penelope?
Pinwheel? So safe, Taraji. That's what you're waiting for. You're holding out. You're suspending judgment until she weighs in on
you're
the situation.
So easily influenced
by Taraji P. Henson.
Because I feel like she is an excellent judge of character.
But what if she's not? What if?
What if that's just a character that she's written?
And how have you come to that conclusion?
I said I feel it.
He
right,
goes with
but
his gut.
But he, well, but something tells you something's going to drive your gut.
Follow the pooj.
What has driven your gut to come to that conclusion?
I don't know. She's a strong, independent black woman, and she's pretty, and I'll believe anything she says.
Does she need a man or no man?
She has a man, but she.
I mean, you could apply that same set of criteria to Jada Pinkett Smith.
She's
wait for her to.
Yeah. She's crazy.
Huh?
I heard that.
Jada Pinkett.
Yeah.
From who? Her mouth.
Yeah.
Just when she talks.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she's crazy.
Love her.
But she's so calm and steady in her tone. I've had her on a couple times over the years. And she's just like, oh, I'm just, you know, life's great. It's all good. She could be telling you, like, I was on one of the planes that went into the Twin Towers.
And it's just that same demeanor.
Oh, yeah. You're like, well, tell me more.
People.
Come on, man. You cannot, if you're going to break the law, do not write a check.
Because you're writing a check that what? You're behind cash.
Yo, man, you cannot cash up. Hey, get cash, man.
Oh, he's sitting there with Shaq, too.
Yeah.
I always forget Shaq is part of that.
Yeah, Shaq's part of that.
So who? It's Kenny, Smith,
Shaq,
Ernie and
Johnson,
Shaq.
And Shaq.
Okay.
I never used an ATM. Now, you can only, I heard you can only get $200 out of the house.
$500. Stop, literally.
Stop,
literally.
Stop, literally.
Make a lot of to the ATM.
But you said, Chuck, America.
America,
if you go not write checks when you commit illegal activity. I cannot believe that we completed. We touched them all right there.
So funny.
Circle the bag.
Hey, he just said he
touched every pillow.
He just said the Lakers would make the playoffs. Jesse said that.
America. Hey, Jack, don't come in.
Jesse, you wasted all that damn time and money. You know what you should have did?
What's that?
Just went out in the Liam Neeson neighborhood. You could have solved all your damn problems.
Uh-huh. Go up to Liam Neeson's neighborhood. Now he got all of them in there. Good for him.
That's funny.
And in between, they have to like put up graphics of Jesse Smollett. Jesse. Now I'm calling him Jesse.
Jussie.
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 Jussie Smollett. Not Jesse.
If you just do it with a little bit of a jaw.
Jussie.
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 Now Jerome. Yes. Over the
Yeah, so his legal team is saying that he is innocent. That Jussie Smollett. Now, he has not been found guilty. So he does deserve the presumption of innocence.
Okay.
I still want to.
We're still an innocent until proven guilty country. So that's how it works. There is a lot of evidence to suggest that he's not telling the truth, but he's out on bond. He went like right to the set. They were holding him at 26 in California. Which is southwest side of Chicago. Southish. Westish. And he goes right to, and I think they shoot on the south side. So he goes right to the set, hat in hand, and is like, I didn't do this. You got to believe me. At that point, he's just trying to save his job. Mm-hmm. But Fox is, and Fox was really.
Did they throw him out? Like, hey, get out of here.
Suspended him, I believe.
They said, we're writing his character will not be in the last two episodes of the season.
How's he going to die?
Because they still got to pay him out. I'm sure he's under some kind of contract. He was shooting scenes up until the last minute, but they said this morning, they're like, he is not going. You know me. I would never do this. You're my family. I swear to God, I didn't do this.
Did they say how much the check was for?
$3,500 for the two Nigerian guys to beat him up, allegedly.
Right.
Now, first, it was their word against his. Once they put the screws to those Nigerian guys, they coughed everything up. But they still had to follow up on, you know, they had to get phone records, which showed a whole lot of phone calls between him and these two dudes. Mm-hmm. One of the guys was like an extra or something, or a trainer on the Empire set.
And they worked out together, and there's just a lot of interaction between them, and then also the, like, him buying the rope to give to them to put around his neck.
Like. But was he going to send them to jail? Like, well, did he expect them not to say anything?
But what he's saying now is that he has had an untreated drug problem. that he that he's been using ecstasy and he got it from one of these guys, and that he has had
hallucinations.
Untreated drug problem
is
a good one.
$3,500 was for.
Well, I don't know about that, but they found texts where
who
he was trying
a
to get
check for drugs, especially something like ecstasy.
I don't know.
You could at least Venmo and then put a little cool little pill on it. at least you can label it cool.
Yeah, what do you write in the memo?
In the
form, line? Drugs?
D-R-U-G-Z.
I love Venmo just for the
XTC.
For the mere fact that I can just scroll down and see what my friends are buying. And, like, they always put, like, poop or they'll put, like, a eggplant emoji. So I'm just, like, people are dumb.
Mr. Brown, we see someone paid you $80 for poop. yeah, well, a guy who's on drugs writes a check for $3,500.
Right. Don't think that.
So whether or not that's true, I don't know. But his new line, and now, first he said I didn't do anything. Now he's pivoting to, I've had an untreated drug problem. So, whatever, we'll see.
The only thing that could make this worse is if he had, like, a wedge salad. Like, if he was eating a wedge salad.
Did you guys get the photo I sent you guys?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
I had my ladies' lunch today with Chris Ty and Mark Nolan. And we went to Johnny's Little Bar. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been there in a long time. And they have a wedge salad. Sent these guys a photo of the wedge salad.
So, pancake,
if you get, you were gone, I think, the day we were talking about wedge salads.
Hates wedge salads.
I hate wedge salads, yeah. Too. I just don't understand why you would pay money to cut up your own salad.
It's like my soulmate. Can we date?
I
will solve all our problems.
I still feel like it's kind of a staple of old school menus, and it's kind of the vibe over there. So I get it. But yeah, I would not order a wedge salad.
Most places have wedge salads.
Do they?
I would think.
Because it's super easy to have.
It's easy and it's cheap. Yeah. It's a quarter of a head of iceberg lettuce.
Yeah. Bacon, blue cheese.
It's so cheap. That salad might cost a dollar. And you're paying $9 to do all that work.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
So whether or not Jussie Smollett was responsible for any wedge salads being consumed, oh, man, imagine if that news comes out. That'll be the last nail in his coffin.
He went to Subway for a wedge salad.
And by the way, nothing that affects any of us, but this, they are getting ready to elect a new mayor in Chicago. Like, they are right on top of a mayoral election because Rahm Emanuel is not running again. So there's like 9 people running to be the mayor of Chicago.
When's the election?
A couple of weeks, I think. It's real close, yes. So whoever is still running has now got to work this whole debacle into, you know, because they're going to get asked about that.
We'll concentrate on real crimes, not fake crimes.
Yeah. There you go. Good platform.
If I had a baby, I'd name it Alan Cox. Wrap it in a blanket and give it up for adoption in one of those countries where you can't drink the water.
100.7!
That's what I think of you, Alan Cox.
WMMS.
If you want to send me a text, alancoxshow.com for all the other stuff. The live video stream is there if you want to watch. And the great, Bobby Collins is back. You're always like a ray of sunshine when you come in here, frankly, but I know you've got to be a very dark man on the inside.
No.
Very, very dark man on the inside. You've got to be, right?
Well, we're sharing the planet with a lot of different types of people.
We are.
So we got to start thinning out the herd.
Born diplomat, aren't you?
The gene pool could use some chlorine.
One of those nets that skims the top, as it were.
You know, I've been in places lately that, I mean, I don't know how I got popular there. Alabama.
Uh-huh.
What a hellhole.
You know, Alabama.
Yeah, and the people, they're not that high up on Brain Mountain.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you talk to them, you want to say, hey, why don't you roll your head around so I can hear that marble going around and around.
But I would think you draw a nice crowd in Alabama. You
got about 1,200.
Right.
But, you know, these people.
People who are happy to see you.
You look at them. It's the only place in my life, Alan, that I actually said to another human being, hey, that's a nice tooth. and the guy thanked me.
You should take care of it when you're down to one.
That's right.
Do those people ask you for any tips, any dental hygiene or anything like that? You don't distribute pamphlets anonymously, anything like that?
Dumb people don't know they're dumb.
Yeah.
And I'm not there to change them. I'm there to make them laugh.
Make them laugh.
Open up to educate themselves to other things rather than believing what they hear on television.
Right.
But that's not my, that's up to them.
Okay.
Let them see both sides and hopefully they'll make a choice.
Sure.
Whether it be in politics, just in life.
Because the rap is that, you know, people who live in bigger cities, you know, that they, when they go to places they're not familiar with and they run into other kinds of people, they're like, oh, they don't take us seriously. But there are a lot of reasons to not take a lot of people seriously.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a hard thing to overcome. You know, be like, how come we don't get any respect? They go, well, hey, yeah. Give me a couple of reasons.
And, like these places, you know, like I was brought up in different, very different.
Yes.
And here, you know, these people can't even fill out a food stamp card, a form. And, you know, they'll write tip off to, you know, that man, Donald Trump. He's going, you know, that man, he's a billionaire. He was a host of a TV show. He's going to make America great again. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at him going, oh, you don't see it. Do you? You know, and I was brought up in New York. You look on a subway, you could sit there as a little boy and you could read people, right, look in their eyes and go, wow, look at this one, what he's hiding or this and that. You know, and you grew up like that. So when you see someone on television hiding, you can look and go like this, oh my God. Like that kid with the thing.
Jesse.
Yes.
We just talked about
Chicago, hiding. Yeah. This guy was hiding as soon as he went on television. I go, look at that. My wife said, you see that always so clear. You can. My wife's Italian from Italy. Hairy,
sure.
Hairy woman.
But you learn to love her and groom her.
We vacuum a lot.
Sure. Lint rollers in every corner of the
room. That
people
pet
think
one.
We yeah. have cats. When the kids were small, they made wigs.
Yeah.
There it is.
Oh, it's nice. Well, but you're a New Yorker.
Yeah.
Yeah, born and bred. Mm. On the subject of the President of the United States, I feel like everybody in New York had his number 100 years ago. And so he right. kind of had to go out into the hinterlands and go, hey, I'm the guy, because everybody at home was like, eh.
Oh, you know? he's looked at New York.
But that's got to drive him crazy because obviously.
He got 1% of the vote.
Yeah, right. But it's also got to drive him crazy because it probably would have been, he probably would have felt a lot better if he had conquered his hometown.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
in a legitimate way, like right. in a way where people took it seriously.
I personally have known Donald Trump for 24 years.
Were you ever on The Apprentice?
No,
okay. You didn't do The Apprentice.
No,
okay.
I've performed at the White House twice,
uh-huh.
and I've performed at Mar-a-Lago, me and Celine Dion, when he became president. He's a fan.
Wait, you performed at Mar-a-Lago yeah. after he became president?
The day after.
Okay.
Yeah. The money was good. Money
sure.
doesn't discriminate. I'm from New York.
It's all
people
green.
Did you get
understood.
An omelet?
Huh? Yeah.
Did you get an omelet?
Oh, I got gold slippers. I got the
gold
whole
slippers.
Thing. As a matter of fact, after the show, I don't know if I should say, after the show, he came up, good show, Bobby. And I started to crack up.
Yeah.
Because I've known this guy, and I mm-hmm. know he's a con artist. You know, and I said, thank you, Mr. President. In my heart, I'm going, you're the president.
You couldn't keep a straight face.
You should be on 42nd Street. Keep your eye on the red card. Keep your eye on the red card. Because we know him.
Yeah.
And then he said to me, Bobby, can I ask you something? I said, sure. He goes, did you vote for me?
Oh, my God!
I looked at him. I said, I would have rather voted for El Chapo. I did. All yeah. his boys laughed. You know, uh-huh. we represent the lollipop girl.
Yeah. But, did you make him laugh with that? Does he have any kind of sense
no,
of humor?
No,
yeah, okay.
No.
And how was Celine Dion? Was she,
she's great.
She looks lovely.
I've worked with her years.
Live and lovely and, yeah, the whole thing.
They paid us well.
Yeah, good. So you go a little bit ways back with him to the point yeah. where you're like, yeah, I see what's going on here. So it has to be strange to, when you're on the road, talking to people who do not have that kind of native perspective that you have.
Right.
Yeah. Bobby Collins is at Hilarity's this weekend. It's a rare occurrence when you'll see Bobby Collins in a club.
But
it's
I
usually
show
theaters,
both sides.
But, yeah.
When you have to show both sides and let you, the audience, make a choice.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, oh, this guy's strictly, he hates Republican. Like,
sure.
Hey, whatever happens to principle, love, equality, friendship, you know, what
uh-huh.
we were brought up with.
Uh-huh.
You got to remind people.
And that check's got to clear.
Thank you. And my wife said to me, you're going there. You know him, but you have, don't go do your politics. Don't do your, and of course, my opening line was, ladies and gentlemen, we have the new president of the United States, and they all cheer, and I go, I guess orange is the new black.
Is your wife worried that you could draw scorn from people for that? Is that a concern with her? Does she worry for you? She goes, honey, you're too, I'm imitating your wife now, yeah. I've never met the woman. Honey, you're too curt with people, you're too candid with people. Does that worry her, or is she so used to, she's been with you a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. She knows what you're
like. She knows what it's like. But she just like, come on, you can get a lot more jobs. I go, honey, I'm a comic. You know, we do well. Thank you. I go, but as a comic, you got to put it out there. Do it. That's what you do. There's no rules.
Right.
You know.
But it is odd, though. I mean, we've had people in here who, John Caparulo, who was a guy who kind of came up in this area. And, you know, he had a glass thrown at him years ago, right? Yeah. You know, when he said something. And it seems like for comedians, and obviously you know this better than anybody, that there is a line that you kind of have to be either willing or unwilling to walk.
Well,
and a guy like you, you're like, I'm unwilling to walk that line. I'm going to tell you what I think.
I was in a big theater about, I don't know, 6 months ago. And it was in New Jersey, the Count Basie Theater. Huge theater.
Yeah.
About 2,200. Some guy in the middle. I was doing the politics. I didn't get to the other side yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm from New York. You know, the government shut down. We never knew it was open.
Right.
You know, that's our attitude.
Right.
So I started to I didn't even get to the other side. This guy stood up in the middle of, goodbye, Bobby Collins. Goodbye. I'm leaving. Goodbye.
He's up in the balcony?
No, in the middle of
the Yeah.
And we're all looking at him. I put my hand up like goodbye. And then I looked at the audience and I said, ignorance can be educated. Crazy can be medicated. No excuse for stupidity.
Right.
They applauded. He got out. They came.
And he's already bought his ticket, by the way, too.
And I'm on to it into the next thing anyway.
Yeah. Is there anything that you can think of? Because I've always tried to at least go through the exercise of putting myself in someone else's shoes. I think it's an instructive way to kind of try to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you can think of that would get you so angry that you would stand up in a theater and leave? Something somebody was saying where you go, I'm out.
And yell it. Not even just stand up and leave. Yeah. Like, yell at the person.
Yeah. No.
Announce you're
leaving.
You're
like, goodbye, Yasser Arafat. No. Goodbye, Bobby Collins, and I'm leaving.
Those puppets aren't really talking, Jeff Dunham.
Right. You know, I have a special needs child.
Okay.
I have very low function. She doesn't walk or talk. And my wife, you know, knowing that I knew the president, she tapped me on the shoulder one day, like, and I go, what? She goes, get me a ticket, Bubby. Get me a ticket for the march, the women's march. I go, why didn't you tell me 2 weeks ago? It would have been much cheaper. We live in L.A.
Uh-huh. Right.
I go, why? She goes, no one will make fun of it. My daughter, my special needs. Trump made fun of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
right.
I mean, I have a lot of respect for that, for someone that would do that. I was like, no problem.
Yeah.
You know, she went.
Are you kind of overtly active in that way, or is it through the act? I mean, are you a guy who will go out on the women's march? You know, there are a lot of guys at these women's marches. I mean, because they want to support their girlfriend or their wife or their daughter or whatever.
No, I do it through my words.
Yeah.
I do it through my work. And
it's more effective that way for you.
I think so.
Sure.
I think you're affecting more people. Plus, I get invited to a lot of big things where they ask me to do a bit, and wherever I am, I kind of mold whatever I'm trying to split across.
Also, pink hat would not look good. You don't want to cover that hair. You don't want to cover that
Thank
hair.
Thank you.
That,
you understand.
He's still got a fine head of hair in this Bobby Collins.
Killing.
Bobby's at Hilarities tonight for two shows, 7 to 9:30. Tomorrow, 7 to 9:30 as well. You go to pickwickandfrolic.com. He's got a book called On the Inside.
548,663 sold.
But who's counting?
Give or take,
I don't know where it comes from.
Yeah, right.
We know numbers. Isn't that weird?
We know numbers.
Wittisms and Wisdomisms is the subtitle. I like that. How long did it take you to compile those? Are you a guy that's always got the yellow legal pad? And when somebody said, hey, we want you to do a book, you said, I've already got it. I just need an editor to compile this. Or was it starting from scratch?
I started it from scratch, and I did it in about a month on the road. Matter of fact, I'm in the middle of a new one.
Okay.
And I brought my computer, you know, the laptop. I'm AOL. I'm still
dial up. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Little young millennial kid on the plane looked at me. He goes, I asked him. He goes, well, send me your email. And I told him BC, AOL. He looked at me. He goes, do you have to pee? Do you need a walker?
Uh-huh.
I got you a little perk.
Yeah, here's my thumb drive with all my information on it. Sure, yeah. But, you know, you can pick up things from people that you might not, you know, hanging out with, like, kids that know things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a very instructive thing. I always try to make it sound like I'm cooler than I am because I have a kid going to college in the fall, and then I have a 14-year-old, and then I have a 3-year-old.
Wow.
I know, I started all over again.
Wow.
But, you know, I can pick up things from my older kids, and it makes me sound like I'm cooler than I am.
Right.
When I'm talking to you, like, oh, I know that.
That's
that?
You.
That's not me.
That's not me. That's you, man.
Oh, God.
That sounds like a flip phone ringtone.
It's Bobby calling me. It's a razor.
You're right.
Oh, it's that kid from the airplane calling for your phone.
One of my daughters. I have three. Of, this is the one I don't like. True story.
Just hit ignore that one.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Give her the hotline.
I know.
Right.
Do the kids all live near you, or are they all spread out? Are these are all grown women with their own lives?
She's not accepting it.
Boy, she's really.
Oh, yeah. Just answer it. Yeah.
Just tell her on the
air. Is she calling from a women's penitentiary?
I know. Right. No, this one. Stop it.
Just answer it.
Just tell her.
You can answer it.
All right, that. Hello? Oh, she left. Hi, Allie. I'm on the radio with three beautiful people. How are you, darling? All right, goodbye.
She called six times in a
row. This is the one. All right. This is the one that moved back home. You don't come back home.
Into
she moved
your
in
house?
With a guy.
Wait, to New York? You're in L.A.
No, I believe we have both.
Oh, places, okay.
But
yeah, yeah.
She went with a guy for 8 months. I didn't like the guy, but my wife said, don't say a word. I'm from New York. You got to speak up for your kid.
Right.
Next thing you know, so they moved in 8 months. The guy dumped
they her. Moved in.
Together.
Yeah.
He dumped her. She came home.
Yeah.
You don't come home. My wife was on a chair with a rope. Bobby, kick the chair. I got a gun in my mouth.
Right.
How old is she?
28.
But you put her up. You love her. You nursed her back to mental health, right?
You know,
yeah. So what do you think she's calling you about? Does she call you regularly with some fracocta notions about...
No, she calls me when she needs something.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's usually money.
Yeah.
Even though she works.
Yeah.
Not just like love and support.
No.
No, come on. I got to pay me love and support.
Not these kids.
And does that annoy you? I mean, is that, you know, when your kid calls you, you know, like I said, my oldest is going to be going to, he's finishing his senior year in high school.
What school is he going to?
He's
going to
go to Michigan State University in the computer engineering program. So,
very nice.
Yeah. So he will invariably text me and go, Hey, can you Venmo me some? And I'll go, yeah, if I can swing it, yeah, here you go, whatever.
Right.
I'm waiting until college because I have a feeling it's going to get more and more frequent, you know? So I'm just kind of girding my loins for that. But as a grown woman, your daughter, it's probably more annoying.
She brought a guy home recently. I was home alone watching a game. Thank God no one was home.
Uh-huh.
She leaves the guy by the door. She goes upstairs to her old room.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm eating mixed nuts. And I'm having, and I look at the guy like, oh. I go, hi, you want some peanuts? He goes, no, I have a peanut allergy. I go, you never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? It's all I had in New York. That's how we were brought up.
Yeah.
Your mother would wrap it in a curtain. He goes like this, no, I have a peanut allergy. I'm like, my parents used to drive us in the car with the windows up, smoking cigarettes. I overcame cancer.
Yeah.
And you got a peanut allergy?
I know. Swim in the East River, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're eating mixed nuts on the couch.
Yep.
Which ones do you pick out? Everybody picks out a nut from the mix.
I don't know what they're called. They're the larger...
the Brazil nuts? Half
almonds?
Brown, half white?
Not almonds. No. They're
the big ones.
Walnut? The big...
Yeah.
I don't know. I just love them.
Then you end up with a plate of Brazil nuts. Mm. And then you got to find some poor son of a bitch who actually likes Brazil nuts.
I know.
And then
I
you
know.
Go, hey,
it's like I was on the subway the other day. I said that in Alabama. They went, subway? They were a hero? I go, no. It's an underground train. And I'm looking at this guy standing this close to me. You know, do people not have mirrors in their homes anymore?
No.
This guy, I'm looking at him. He's this close. He's got wheels in his ears.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not lying. He little stagecoach wheels.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he goes, what? I go, you got wheels in your ears. He goes, you like them? I go, sir, you have wheels in your ears. And he had a sports jacket on. I go, where are you going? He goes, I'm going on a job interview. I said, watch my lips. You're not going to get the job. He goes, why not? Got wheels in your ears. But should I take them out? No, then it looks like you're melting.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No clue.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I saw a dude who had taken his plugs out. I was at a concert or something, and he'd taken them out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a striking look when somebody decides to pull those out. Because
so
they're like,
gross.
Thank you.
They've either been in so long that they now have to get like surgery, they snip them and sell them or whatever, or they just like, I'll just put them back in later on.
And listen,
it's a brave new world.
You're always going to take them out.
Yeah, no gauge your ears.
No one's doing that for their entire life.
And they stink. They smell. My cousin gauged her ears, and I'm like, dude, this is disgusting. Yeah. It's really gross. Mm-hmm. They smell really, really bad. It's open. It's an open wound.
Yes, I know. It is an open wound. Oh, God. Yes. You'll never find Bobby Collins gauging his ears.
No, I'm not going to gauge.
No.
Just the old Prince Albert, right? That's it.
Gauge that, baby.
In a can. Tonight.
That's classy, though.
Yeah. Two shows tonight with Bobby Collins at Hilarities on 4th Street. 21 and over, it says. Special event, it says.
No, I love coming to Cleveland. You people, you wear your hearts on your sleeves. Mm-hmm. You know the value of a dollar, and you basically look into people. That what I call a neighborhood where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I feel always comfortable here. The people are real. I live in California. These people are gearing up for these Academy Awards like they think this is like the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, they're so phony. They're so... A friend of mine was out from New York. We grew up together. We're watching television. The weather guy goes, tomorrow's going to be an onshore flow. My friend looked at me, what's that? I go, wind. And then he went on, it's a Sunday, we're going to have the Santa Anas. He goes, what's that? I go, windy.
Yeah.
They're the phoniest people. You have more in your fingernail here in Cleveland than 99% of the
Did people. You ever go, was ever a period where maybe you were seated at an award ceremony? Did you ever go to the Cable Ace Awards back in the day, anything like that?
Today I got invited for the 50th anniversary for Laughing, March 8th.
Yeah, okay. Really?
I got
invited. Where's that going to be? In L.A.?
Yeah.
Rowan and Martin?
Yeah.
They're both gone, right? Yeah. Who's left? Else? Goldie Hawn?
No, I go to some things because it's good that I show up, but
yeah.
I went to the Billy Crystal big thing.
Uh-huh.
I never liked Billy Crystal, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like personally or his work?
Both.
Some people.
I'm from New York. If you don't like the person, you don't like anything they do.
Right.
Some people have kind of thought he's a little bit insufferable, or is that kind of your issue with him? Is he try to big time everybody?
No, it's just that when I first got out to California, because I was on a TV show and I hosted a new one, which I'm doing another one now, but when I hosted the show VH1 Stand Up Spotlight, they asked me and a bunch of comics to play the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium baseball. He was our captain. He took it real. He thought he was like we were real baseball
players. Oh, right. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I looked at him, I go, whoa, we're comedians making like we're playing ball. And right. I was having everyone crack up. He didn't like that.
Did he wear blackface when he did that?
I know.
he wanted to be on the Brooklyn Dodgers. Yeah.
Soul man.
Poor Billy. It's Billy Crystal's loss, if you ask me. Not to be hanging out with Bobby Collins.
I don't know. I was there with Robert Klein. I was there with Smokey Robinson. Robert De Niro was at my table.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are lunatics, but we have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you and Robert Klein are two guys that spring to my mind that I'm glad are still doing things. And I love Robert Klein.
Robert's a great guy.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Bobby Collins is at Hilarities tonight and tomorrow for two shows apiece, 7 and 9:30 tonight, 7 and 9:30 tomorrow. His book is called On the Inside, bestseller, by the way.
It is.
And there's a new one in the works, BobbyCollins.com for everything else. It's always good to see you.
Great seeing you.
Thank you for coming in, Brad.
Thanks for having me.
This version in the remastered Blu-ray of Fight Club.
Nice.
Are they?
Yeah. I had a lot of conversations with David Fisher's production company. Mm. So they finally agreed to put the pound cake version of Where Is My Mind.
This is the original?
Fight Club?
Yeah, when everything's exploding at the end.
Oh, yeah.
When Tyler and Marla are watching everything go to shrimp.
Burn. Watch the world burn.
So that they're not letting that ISIS girl back into the country, and she's suing the Trump administration over that. She's a citizen, this Alabama college student, Muslim girl, who we were talking about this the other day. She and a 46-year-old mother of four, Canadian woman who met an ISIS guy online and then went over. Both of these women wanted to come back after realizing what awful mistakes they made in trying to join the caliphate.
Ooh,
and this girl,
you never see stuff like that coming.
You know what though? I find myself trying to keep an open mind
Are you really about to defend these people?
No. It's weird because you know why? Because there are, I feel like there are so many attacks on people who are citizens here already that here's a person who is an American citizen. She is from Alabama. Do we have any room anymore for youthful indiscretions? Does trying to join ISIS fall under the youthful indiscretions thing anymore in the 21st century? Or my bad?
Yeah, right?
Well, used to be Patty Hearst, right, back in the day. I was part of a revolutionary group after I got kidnapped and Stockholm Syndrome and that whole thing. My bad. She worked her way back into the community. What about a woman who's like, God, I was... Yeah, I was 20. I tried to join ISIS. What do you want me to say?
She could do a good TED
talk. These are modern problems. Right. Have her do a TED talk.
Yeah, that might
there be. Are people, obviously, who will say, don't reward that behavior. And I think that you are right.
Give her a Netflix doc. Everybody else got one.
Yeah. That's the problem. There are too many yelling out there. Our allegedly soundproof doors.
Yeah.
I was like, it's definitely close. Mm-hmm.
That's the problem, is too many goddamn documentaries on Netflix. You can't tell one apart from the other.
You know what's a good one? Team Foxcatcher, which is on this week's episode of Flicks and Bill.
Teen Fox
Team.
Catcher?
Team.
Team.
Is that the DuPont?
Yeah.
Another DuPont documentary on Foxcatcher? Okay.
We talk about that one, and then Brian Kenny's the guest, and he's seen all the other ones, the 30 for 30 and the Steve Carell movie. We delve into that.
They go and they catch foxes in the forest?
No.
No.
Did you ever see the Steve Carell film Foxcatcher about the rich John DuPont guy who?
It's a real funny rom-com.
Paid for a couple
it's
of guys.
Not a real funny rom-com. You wouldn't watch it if it were.
I didn't watch it anyway.
No, I'm unfamiliar.
Are you saying that Bill is
the worst? Yes.
I wasn't gonna.
You weren't going there.
No. Are you saying that he is fundamentally opposed to watching any kind of romantic comedies?
Yes, I would say that.
But I'm sure you've seen them at the behest of some young lady pants you're trying to blast your way. I mean, you know?
I'll watch them.
You'll bend before you break?
No, there's some that I enjoy. I'm not against the idea of a rom-com. I like Just Friends.
Okay,
Ryan so Reynolds. One.
That's based around people hooking up. And then they catch feelings.
No, not the one. The Ryan Reynolds one.
Oh, wait, what am I thinking? Friends with Benefits is Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. That's Friends is when Ryan Reynolds
is thinking of Just Friends.
Yeah, that one, like... There's silly movies like that where it's more comedy than romance. Like, that's High Fidelity. That's kind of a rom-com, right?
It's a comedy with a romantic storyline to it. But.
The comedy's probably more light in that one.
I'll tell you, too, that I love, unabashedly love.
Ready.
When Harry Met Sally.
Okay.
I can recite that entire film to
Never
you.
Never seen it.
Okay.
That's a great one.
Fantastic movie, okay? Love
it.
When Harry Met Sally. And Notting Hill. I found to be delightful.
Notting Hill.
With that's Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant. He's cute.
I don't mind that one. I also feel like there was an era when rom-coms were...
Huge.
Maybe it's just because I was younger and I wasn't as jaded. But I feel like the rom-coms they come out with now are real bad.
I'm trying to think of the last new one
think
that
of,
I
yeah,
saw.
Right?
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
That's a great one.
I loved Forgetting
that's a good
Sarah
movie.
Marshall.
Yeah. I like that.
My high school boyfriend and I had just broken up when that came out.
Saw 3? That was so
I liked Saw 2
heartfelt
with the rom-com story.
That was more leg felt.
Yeah.
But yes.
No, there's plenty of rom-coms that I enjoy, but I think there's a lot that are trash.
Well, we were talking during one of the breaks. You were saying that it puts unrealistic expectations on love and how you're supposed to handle things. And I agree with you on that.
Right. And that's why I don't look at those and go, I want that. I want it to be a fun movie.
Right. And I'm not sitting there watching when am I going to find a Prince Charming who's going to walk out of an elevator one day? No, don't look at me like that. Just because I believe in that sort of thing happening, it's not like that's what you base your whole life off of.
But there's also
you can enjoy watching it.
There's also a difference between being open to something like that and thinking it will happen. I'm not going to peg you as going so far as to say, I think this will happen.
Right.
But obviously the world's a big place.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and those are movies.
The stars might align. Well, weirder things a bit. You know, movies are based in reality, right?
Right.
These are all true. When Harry Met Sally, all true stories.
All true stories. Saw 3. All true stories.
All true stories.
But yeah,
no. I just remember people screaming. It's true if they shoot anything here too. I love when you see a movie in the theater in the city in which it was filmed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people who watch it will pick it apart geographically.
Oh, yeah. That's how we're that, yeah.
And When Harry Met Sally starts, they're both going to New York from the University of Chicago at the beginning of that film. They're in college and, you know, they're trying to show them as younger. So Meg Ryan has feathered hair. Mm-hmm. Billy Crystal has sideburns. You know, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, they're the same age, but it's later. Haircuts. And you know, and they are
depicting the passage of time,
yeah. Right? And you just pick every little thing apart, you know. So when they're leaving the city, they are going in the opposite direction than you would if you were going to New York. I was like, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. But yeah,
so many hours in the day, and right. Sometimes you get lost on the highway. They didn't have GPS back then.
Yeah, that's right. They had a road map.
They had to pull out their Rand McNally.
Is that the name of a road map?
No, it's a rom-com.
Oh.
Rand McNally.
Rand McNally.
I thought maybe that was a road map company.
Alan, how do you feel about John Tucker Must Die?
Oh, that's a cute one.
Didn't see that one.
It's a high school playboy. He's like the captain of the basketball team. He's dating three different girls. And those three girls...
Sounds cool.
Those three girls take one new girl under their wing to like destroy John Tucker, like take him down. But they end up falling for each other.
What about Gross Point Blank?
That's a great one.
Is that
considered a rom-com?
That's like I would say that's a rom-com.
Okay. Love Gross
Point
Blank.
It's like a dark rom-com, though, because there's a lot of murder.
He's a hitman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dan Aykroyd.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Gross Point Blank?
Mm-mm.
I think you would enjoy that one.
Okay. We got to make a list.
Gross Point Blank, When Harry Met Sally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both of these. I mean, When Harry Met Sally is 20 years old.
Right.
Gross Point Blank is probably 15 years old, at least 10.
It's like a mid-90s film.
Blank.
Maybe late 90s.
Okay.
It's around that same time when Cusack was making a bit of a comeback. He did that.
1997.
Yeah.
How
Fidelity was along after that.
Wow. 22 years ago, Gross Point Blank. Yeah, because Minnie Driver was still like 22 or something, I think.
I remember for the what's that? You like them apples?
Goodwill Hunting.
Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah.
10 Things I Hate About You.
They should have just called that movie, You Like Them Apples.
I think so. Yeah.
10 Things I Hate About You, I like that movie.
Is that
you? Heath Ledger?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm. And what's his face, too? Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah. And yeah, that's
I guess
one.
I didn't enjoy romantic comedies with people my own age. Those are all like teen films.
Really? Yeah, they're like
so. I liked
them
with adults. I'm like, I need to see what I'm going to be able to accomplish when I'm an adult.
That one came out.
I already see people around me doing all kinds of nonsense. I need to see what's possibly ahead of me,
right?
So I can appoint myself accordingly.
That one came out when they were around the same age as me. Maybe they were a little
99.
Bit older. Yeah. So okay. So yeah, it was like around their age. So I thought it was a funny movie. It was a good one.
Hitch.
Okay.
Hitch.
The movie was terrible.
What?
Yeah, movie was terrible.
I don't think I've made it through it.
Hitch was a movie where every box was checked to make it a great movie.
Is that why I loved it? Why?
It wasn't written well. The jokes didn't land. Will Smith, Kevin James, should have been, who was the female lead? I forget. But
Eva Mendes,
there you go. Should have been a home run. Was not.
40-Year-Old Virgin?
That's a good movie.
That's a killer.
See, is that a romantic comedy?
I looked at most popular rom-coms.
Okay.
And these are what are coming up. Bridesmaids? Come on. Bridesmaids was great.
I didn't make it through Bridesmaids.
What? That's like when I loved Bridesmaids.
Melissa McCarthy bothered me so much in that movie because...
She was like a tertiary character.
But she every time she did something funny, then she still said like four more things. And it was... I just found her so annoying in that movie.
That was the least.
I really was annoyed by that
probably
movie.
Probably the only movie that I liked her in.
That was her breakout.
That was like the one that made her more famous than anything else. I loved her in that movie, and then everything she did after that, I couldn't make it through.
No, it was
like
not.
Tammy, where she was like a.
Yeah.
Yeah, she like stole someone's identity or something.
Yeah.
And, like, was
yeah.
Her
it was her was Jason, identity yeah. thief with Jason Bateman.
Well, yeah. I love Jason Bateman so much. He's my favorite.
Can't Hardly Wait.
Can't
Hardly Wait is more of like a teen coming of age movie. I don't
like
really
American
think of that.
Pie.
Yeah,
kind
yeah.
Of,
yeah, right.
I don't think Never Been Kissed.
Drew Barrymore. Is that where she's like a Sun Times reporter who passes for a high school student?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
He falls in with an 18-year-old or something.
She's in the 18th grade.
The 18th grade.
I'm an 8th year senior.
Here's one I've heard a lot about, but I've never seen: Sleepless in Seattle.
Great movie.
Is that another great one?
That's
no?
a good movie.
93. I was four.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Tired in Toronto. That's the LGBTQ version.
Is that real?
Tired in Toronto.
I'm going to make it, though.
You should. That'd be great.
That's really funny.
That's how you reboot something. Tired in Toronto.
Yeah.
Like those old, like the old newspaper columns for, what do they call them? Advice columns in the newspaper. Signed, Tired in Toronto.
Right.
Yeah. Dear Anne, I just can't find anyone here in Toronto. Hey, Blind James.
Alan, Megadildos.
Megadildos. James, how are you?
I'm fantastic, man. I finally got my show up and running for the, fundraiser I was throwing together. Yeah, it's going to be at the Odeon, man. I got a Faceless, a Godsmack tribute band headlining it, a bunch of awesome local Cleveland bands, and if people wanted to pick up tickets, they can just go on to TicketWeb and search the keyword Vision.
I got
to
say, I heard a distressing story about Blind James.
Yeah.
When you were putting the show together, is it true that you were calling advertisers and telling them that you were with WMMS?
No.
That's what I heard.
I'd call people and they'd say, I'd say, hey, this is Blind James. You may know me from calling into Rover's Morning Glory or Alan Cox Show, but by no means would I say it works.
Why would you say that?
Because that's where most people know me from.
Most people know you from that?
Yeah. They know me from calling in.
Hmm. All right. That's not what I heard. I heard a very different story. I heard a very distressing story.
That's unfortunate, because I have, a few local companies that got on the show, and we're really excited, man. We got Cleveland Sight Center involved and a whole bunch of people.
All right. Well, that's good. I would certainly hate to hear that was the case,
No, definitely. And I actually...
There's always somebody trying to piggyback on what we work hard to do here.
No, and I even got in contact with your people from, we have Mr. Hero, who works with you guys, and we've been in contact with your people there on trying to get you guys involved with the actual charity.
Uh-huh.
Yep. All right. What's her name? Tiffany over in sales. She's an awesome lady, and she's helping us out and get everything squared away.
Hmm. All right. Well, that is certainly not the story that I heard.
If that's
the case, I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to, if you could email me, let me know what you are. I mean, I'm baffled by that, because even all the emails and stuff I send go through my, my fiance and stuff, and it's, yeah.
Your emails go through your fiance?
Well, she reads and writes.
Just trying to get them through your computer. All right, listen, good luck out there, James.
Hey, thanks, Alan.
All right, thank you, buddy. There you go. There's Blind James.
All right. Yeah, that was... I heard that story.
Yeah, there's always stories like that of people who want to somehow associate themselves with the show in an official capacity, and they are not officially associated with, Everybody always trying to piggyback on my hard work, Mary Santoro.
Ride those coattails,
the feeling?
Man.
Do you know the feeling?
I'm the biggest
You're a working
offender.
Comedian. Biggest offender.
I know the feeling of riding your coattails.
And I have continued to allow you to do so
I
happily.
Appreciate that,
okay.
Daddy.
You're welcome. That's right. But you've got your own show tonight. You put your own show together. You got Bill Squire riding your coattails tonight.
And that's what it's going to be like for the rest of our lives,
right?
Honestly. That's...
Have you written her set for tonight? She's going to be performing a set that Bill writes for her.
I have not, but I will write something.
You haven't written anything yet?
No.
That's him.
Show's tonight.
I'm a last-minute kind of guy.
He's going to be sitting in the back... 10 minutes before with
I'll
no cards
out.
Yeah, he'll text it to me on stage.
Honestly, they probably won't be. That might be the best way to do it.
You just text it every time my phone goes off. I have to stop in the middle of my joke and tell your joke instead.
That's yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I'm fine with that. I'll leave my phone on sound so it'll ding every time, and then I just have to do your joke instead. Mm-hmm. That's kind of fun.
All right, so it'll be interspersed with you.
I guess.
But you host.
Made this up right now. I host.
You don't do a set normally.
Well, I mean, I'll go up and do like 10 minutes and welcome everybody. Thank you for coming out.
Rolling.
Get them rolling. Get them warmed up, and then we have a younger comic do a little guest set, and then a feature act, and then
like
I'm
an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to follow an 8-year-old. I hate when there's a kid on a comedy show.
You're not following them. I understand that it's hard for you to follow an 8-year-old because
have you ever had to follow an 8-year-old?
No, I haven't. I've never been on a show with a kid.
Yeah, I have. Everybody loves it because it's like it's always a kid
Why
that goes
you
up
on a show with a kid.
How cheeky!
Yeah, exactly. There's just been kids like it's more like open mics and stuff like that.
or open mics.
It's open mics or, like, or contests or something dumb where a kid ends up being an act and everybody's like, oh yeah, that kid was so funny, because they do like the easiest
adult
cheesiest
humor
jokes,
that was sometimes.
And, right, and but you're not held to the, you're not held to the same standard
for them.
As
yeah.
them.
No, but they're held to a much lower standard.
Right.
But then they go up and crush, and you got to follow that. It's like going up after, I don't know. There's certain things in comedy. If you have to follow that, it's
so
not easy. And this is also something that happened early in my career.
Following a musical act is really tough.
I never worked with a kid.
I haven't either. I know one kid that works not too far from here, and it's like a comedy club booker's kid.
If I saw a kid on the bill, I'd be like, no.
You wouldn't do the show, even if they were paying you?
How much are they paying me?
$50. $100.
No.
Well, you're not a starving stand-up artist.
I was.
Where that might be like the only $100 you get that week.
I was. I still wouldn't do a show. I didn't even know that was a possibility.
You can.
That
there's
you
no age limit.
An 8-year old.
There's no age limit.
And it's one of those things where.
But
it's
these
not,
are mostly in bars. How's the kid getting?
Or comedy clubs.
It was like a comedy club, or I think the one was a contest at the Spaghetti Warehouse in Akron.
Oh,
yo, Spaghetti Warehouse though.
They used to do a comedy contest there.
I worked at
and
the Spaghetti Warehouse.
A kid that would come and tell jokes and just destroy, and then you got to be like, all right, well, I guess the kid wins.
They win. Yeah, they need that $500.
Because they also bring everybody that they know.
Because
they're like, oh, we
got to
go support the kid.
Right.
Yeah, stop. Yeah.
Early on, I could only get on at black clubs. There were no small kids doing
No, so definitely not.
Nope.
I worked at a Spaghetti Warehouse downtown Toledo.
Spaghetti Warehouse. Mm-hmm. Did there used to be one here?
There was one in the flats.
Was there?
It was what is the bar now? It's right across from Harbor Inn, where everyone goes there after shows at the Improv. We went there after the Take It Back Sunday show.
No.
Hooples?
No. It's on right by Christie's and that volleyball
Cheers?
Bar.
No, I don't know.
Not McCarthy's?
No, I thought McCarthy's was. Is it McCarthy's? I thought
McCarthy's
was
right
up
across
on the hill.
The street. No, McCarthy's is
it's
right
where we
across
went
the street.
After Taking Back Sunday.
Yeah, McCarthy's.
Yeah, McCarthy's. Yeah. That used to be the Spaghetti Warehouse.
Okay.
The one in Akron used to be popping, though.
It's still there.
I know it's still there, but they used to have deals for college students. We could go there with our zip card and just, like, charge it. We could use, like, a meal swipe.
That was the worst job I've ever had.
Yeah.
It was the worst serving job I've ever had.
There was one waiter where I didn't do it because I don't believe in, no matter how bad the service is, I always tip. Like, I always tip because I know their job sucks. And I had my roommate with me. He did not tip. Like, he wrote on the back, like, you need serving lessons.
Dude.
I'm like, don't do that, man. Mm-hmm. Like, don't do that.
They had a thing called Warehouse Wednesdays where you could get a drink, a soft drink, a super salad, and an entree.
Ooh, a super salad. That sounds good.
Yeah, super salad.
With a wedge.
And an entree for $6.99. And it came out to like $7.57 or something like that, and everybody left $8. Everybody.
Really?
You're making 40
nothing.
Cents
mm-hmm. yeah.
a person. It was
I'm one of your busiest nights.
Worst.
Yeah.
There aren't many left. I mean, they're mostly... there used to be one when I lived in Pittsburgh. I think there was one in the Strip District, but they're mostly in Ohio and Texas now.
Really?
But they got the domain name meatballs.com.
Nice!
That's nice.
They got in on that early.
Right.
They must
good
have.
Get.
Right. So they're just in Texas, Ohio, and then Syracuse.
They're
so it's probably
butter.
A campus location.
Well, and that's the other thing. You get free bread and butter with every meal, so people would sit down and they
free
would...
Free bread? How are they staying open?
They would
free
eat...
Free bread?
They would eat 8 loaves of that. It's good sourdough bread, and then that, like, garlic butter is so, so good. Yeah. But, oh, so good. But people would eat, like, 2
like
loaves each and then take it all home.
Sourdough bread and garlic butter.
Dude, it's good.
It's good, yeah.
People will back me up on that. The Spaghetti Warehouse
that, yeah.
with the sourdough bread, and then they have like a house made herbed. It was so good. Now I'm getting all amped up.
House made. We
is.
Don't get this from down the street. We make this in house. We put garlic
all
in
right.
butter.
You make all the fun you
we
want,
have
Mr.
Guys,
Avocado over here. Listen.
Listen. Avocado, I don't like
you
avocado.
Don't like, that's what I'm
no.
saying. You don't like anything that's good.
I love a lot of things that are great.
No.
I just don't find any of them at meatballs.com is all I'm saying.
Whatever.
All right, fine.
They had really good Italian wedding soup, too. The food was good.
Hey, try our wedding soup.
That's how everyone in the kitchen sounded.
Did they make you talk like that?
No.
Yeah.
It was a lot of single moms.
Table
really
of five,
aggravated.
You up. Table of five. Yeah. Come and get it. You got the mac and cheese.
Yep. Big paper hats, everything. Luigi mustache.
Yeah, the little push-on mustaches. And the apron, the checkered. Hey! Yeah. All right.
That's so stupid.
You go, you know when you wait tables and you go back to the kitchen.
And that's how everyone looks.
They don't call you by your name. They call you by your order.
They don't even do that
So they
anymore.
Go, hey, chicken and fish, you put you up, you know. They don't go, hey, Mary, you're up, you know, ticket.
Every they time go, they just would be like runners. Like, hey, someone get this food out of here. I don't care who it is. Usually.
Right, sure.
Someone take this now.
You got to clear off the line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they just yell it out.
Right.
Hey, it's strip steak, are you up? All right.
You are the worst.
Thank you.
Come for the jokes. Stay for the pasta lunch.
It's the Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7 WMMS.
This album's 10 years old, for Christ's sake. They've announced that Alice in Chains will tour with Korn this year, which makes me very happy. I came to Korn late. I was not into the goofy white boy beatboxing in the early aughts. I look over and Mary's like her jaw is unlocked like a snake eating a mouse.
Dude,
she's yawning. I know. We were talking in the break. By the time Friday comes around, wiped.
Well, it's not even just about last night. I had a busy week. I didn't have any day off for one.
Are you sure it's not
week.
That I'm boring you?
You are so boring, dude. I meant to talk to you about it. Like, it's borderline impossible.
I know. Think of me. I'm trying to keep myself awake.
You don't even
awake.
Know it.
I know. Well, you just told me.
Well, yeah, but you now don't I know feel it. You're going to be more aware of it now, but it's like, you can't do anything about it. What, are you going to fake enthusiasm, Alan?
I can't. I cannot manufacture enthusiasm. I can't do it. You know what? That's what keeps me real.
Oh. Now you're not genuinely excited about anything.
I am. I'm genuinely excited about Alice in Chains touring with Korn. Yes, I like that a lot. And
man
I think Under Oath
box.
Is on the bill, too. Pardon me?
I'm the man in the box.
Nailed it.
You. Is that how it goes?
I'm the man in the box.
Is
Alice in Chains here right now?
The box.
Wow. All
See,
right.
Bill's got his comedian impressions, and Donald Duck, I can sing like everybody.
The ghost of Lane Staley is in this room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only line I know from any of their songs.
I'm the man in the box.
I am the man in the box.
Hey, why are you in that box?
Yeah, this is my song.
All right, we'll do some karaoke. New segment on the show.
I can't even take myself seriously.
No, go ahead.
I don't know any of the words. Did I get it?
Nailed that.
I'm ruining it. I don't know the words.
There weren't any.
I sound just like him. I don't know what
really,
the problem is.
Really good.
I agree.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Still love Jerry Cantrell. Love Alice in Chains.
They're torn.
Yeah, with Korn. Yes. Anywho, that makes me happy.
Prefer peas over corn, but.
Now I'm on.
Really?
Yeah. Peas are my favorite.
You like peas more than corn?
Uh huh. Peas are probably my favorite vegetable.
Fresh peas,
really?
Though. No, I don't like
peas.
Fresh peas.
Fresh peas, they got to be fresh. I don't want
edamame.
I love edamame.
Edamame are peas,
it's
are
like
they?
Soybeans or something, yeah.
No, but like when legume. People munch on pea pods, I don't like
snap peas. Snap peas, sugar peas.
No, nope, I like them out of a can.
Yeah, I like canned peas. I like frozen bag of peas.
See, I don't like pea juice. Like, I don't like any of them.
You can drain the juice.
I'm sick of y'all. It's Friday. I just want to talk and have a conversation.
information.
Hey, at least ahead. You're saying I don't like it. Yeah. You're not saying, ooh, just drip some pea juice in my mouth.
I love it with the pea juice. No,
by far good. Not the worst thing you've ever said, by the way.
Trans people ruined everything.
Uh-huh. How's that hold up against pea juice?
I'm better than Jesse Smollett. Hey, I molest children. All right, that's not better.
I know what you're saying, though, but you can drain it. Just
get that one.
527.
All right, you gonna get me? Get her too.
Whatever.
But no, I do enjoy corn and peas. I like them corn. when they're in the actual, what is it, the seed or the whatever.
The pot?
Are we going off on peas and corn?
Yeah.
We were talking about Alice in Chains and corn.
Yeah. Well, sorry, you don't like corn or peas.
Bit of a
I like
what
both.
Broccoli.
I love broccoli.
What about succotash? Lima beans on corn.
Okay, not my favorite. I don't like lima beans.
No, though. I was forced to eat a plate of lima beans as a kid, and I still hate them to this
Yuck.
Day.
I don't like beans like that very... I don't like pinto beans, I don't like black beans.
My parents
like
just thought
beans.
I was being petulant rather than the fact that I did not want to eat lima beans, and so they made me sit there.
Genuinely didn't like them.
Yeah, my parents were very big on, like, you're going to do that or you're going to sit there until you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there...
I was sitting there all night.
I kind of did. I think that was the one time where I kind of called their bluff. They were like, I guess you don't want to eat those lima beans. And I was like, nope. And they turned the lights off in the dining room and the whole thing, and I was sitting there. I remember it vividly. It was at my grandmother's house. We used to go to my grandma's house from Christmas Eve to New Year's Day. We would go to my grandma's house for the week, right? It was my only grandparent. Like, we didn't know my dad's side of the family, so my mom's mom, we would go there, and, you know. And so my grandma was an amazing cook, so every night we were eating something different, whatever. And one night, the lima beans were part of the menu, and I did not like lima beans. And I was on record as not liking lima beans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my parents just thought that I was being, you know.
And you don't even like the things that can make lima beans tolerable, like butter.
What are those? Like,
butter.
Okay.
Do some butter on there.
There are some things that I've really grown to like. I used to hate spinach. Now it's great, mm-hmm. right? Lima beans never moved an iota into the I like column. So as a kid, I remember sitting there with that, just kind of like, I'm not eating this. I don't want to eat this. And my parents doing what they would normally do, which was, all right, well, you sit there till you eat it, you know. Not even like meet me halfway. Not even like take three bites and then we'll call it a night. Whatever. Not that. And I remember sitting there and they had all retired into the living room to watch TV or something. I'm still sitting there. They turned the light off as though that was going to move me from my spot.
Eat in the dark.
Yeah. And so I finally, you know, they were trying to prove some kind of point. And I finally,
I was a food separator.
They came back in and said, all right, you get in there and, you know, whatever.
What do you mean by that? Like, you'd move the food around your plate?
I did not like mashed potatoes. I didn't like any.
That's so weird.
Now I can eat them. I have to have gravy, but I can eat mashed potatoes. It doesn't bother me like it did when I was a kid. But I used to, if they would give me a mound of mashed potatoes, like they would, because it's a black household and they do not skip on any of the... You know, luxuries of
fixins.
Yeah, of the soul food. And I had a mound there, and I would just stick my fork in it and just kind of like separate it to make it look like I ate it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so full.
So full.
And then they're like, well, you ate everything else around it. Why did you like, why is the
just
whole
just a lot just, of mashed potatoes? So you can't eat all those mashed potatoes.
So they would do the same thing, and you're like, oh, you're going to sit there till you eat it. I'm like, okay. I don't have friends anyways. I'll sit right here. and I sat there proudly with my arms crossed, like, mm-hmm. And?
Now, I was too much of a people pleaser. I would eat anything that they put on my plate and then, like, brag about it to the other kids. Be like, well, I ate it. So I was like, not a big deal. Like,
look at you now.
Yeah. Like, and then all the adults would be like, oh, look, he ate his food. Like, I remember eating Brussels sprouts at my friend's house, and he wouldn't touch them, and I'm just wolfing them down. They're actually good.
I did not eat Brussels sprouts until I was probably, like, 23 years old.
And, like, his mom was a good cook.
Oh, they're great. I love them now, but I never would eat them just because they smelled weird. Yeah. And I didn't want to go near them.
I didn't realize how much TV had, an effect on, like, my diet. Just because I would see, like, on Doug, liver and onion.
So yeah, anytime,
or Brussels sprouts. I wouldn't eat them because Doug didn't eat them in the show. So now it's just... It's funny to look
at. Yeah, I was the only one in my family that didn't like liver and onions. Everybody else in my family liked liver and onions, and I was like, I'm not eating that either. Like, I was not a picky eater, but I'm like, God damn, liver and onions, man. Give me a break here. Like, meet me halfway.
That's not something my parents ever made.
I've
not
never
one
had
time.
That, no.
Yeah.
You will still see it on an occasional, like, diner. I'll be on the road, and it's always super cheap to eat at a diner, and you usually can get breakfast any time of the day. And every now and then, you'll see, like, a $4.99, like, liver and onion special, and I'm like,
for people with no teeth who eat it four in the afternoon. Yeah,
this.
Right.
Like,
it's
on the rare occasion that my dad made dinner... He was not a good cook, but he was adventurous. And so it became
I don't like
it. Was like
people.
It was like fear factor.
Yeah,
so
he
would just he's like,
I hate that.
I put squid in the spaghetti. I'm like, all right, let's try the squid.
At least he told you though. Yeah. Because my stepdad, because he knew I was a picky eater, and so he would like make me eat things and then tell me afterwards, like, see, well actually that was this and I didn't tell you. I'm like, see, now I'm not gonna eat anything if you
that
tell
you
me.
Make, yeah.
We,
because he had raccoon and I was so scarred.
Okay, see,
like,
that's messed up.
See, that's,
I guess, yeah, that's I saw
a raccoon sitting in
I would
in
if
the
I knew
sink,
what it was.
And our neighbor shot it apparently or got it. And he would, yeah, I don't ask me, but
weird.
It was sitting in the sink, and I saw, I was like, right. Oh, we're not having that for dinner, are we? Because it was skinned. And he was like, oh,
stop,
no.
Stop, that's like tragic.
And then, like, later on that night, we were smashing. I was like, he was like, oh, so that raccoon in the sink? He was like, how does it taste? I said, you didn't. He's like, I did.
How'd it taste?
It's pretty tasty, but, but see, he's no longer my stepdad. So.
But that's making the case for not necessarily telling you what's in the food.
Because you're going to eat it.
Yeah, it's just like mental. It. Yeah,
I don't like care.
My family had a rule that if you asked what something was, you had to try it before they would tell you. So, like, if my dad, if we're out to eat or whatever, I'm not paying attention, he orders something and I look
at his
plate.
Mom, what's a lesbian?
No, you got to taste it before I'll tell you. I would, like, look at his plate and be like, what's that? And he's like, well, that's the rule now. You ask what it is, you have to take a bite of it. And you would eat it, and then you, if you liked it, he's like, you like it, and then they would tell you what it
that's
was.
That's a weird rule.
Mm-hmm. That is a weird rule, asked, but I kind of like it.
If you asked what something was, you had to try it. So we would kind of like try to figure it out without asking. You catch on after a while and you don't want to ask, but you're like curious. Like, I wonder what that is.
Could you just put your fork in it and try it without asking?
No. I mean, not off someone else's plate.
Well, your dad's plate. I mean.
Yeah, like, no. I mean, I was just.
So
I
if you said,
what
is that?
That? You
if you inquired about food, you had,
food, to, eat it, no
you had to eat
it. You had to try it.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing to plant your flag in as a parent.
I don't know. They had five kids, so they just probably got tired of being asked.
Oh, I see. I see.
What is it? Eat it.
Trying to economize their, right. Their time. They're adding break dancing to the Olympics. I was reading
a little blurb on that.
Yeah.
It's about time.
It's very athletic. I don't know if you guys have ever tried to break dance before, but it is very, very
What is it, 1982? This is one of these things
hard.
That like the rest of the world does because they're 15, 20 years behind us, but we don't do anymore. Four additional sports have been added to the 2024 Olympics in Paris. Break dancing. Bring your own cardboard. Surfing, sport climbing, and skateboarding.
I thought skateboarding was already a thing.
It was like the X Games.
Yeah, but it wasn't in the Olympics. I think that one's definitely worth being in the Olympics.
Is Tony Hawk breakdancing.
Breakdancing is incredibly athletic.
Yeah, exactly. It's just gymnastics, basically, yeah. To a beat.
And on the ground.
But they vote. Well, and again,
they do gymnastics on the floor routine.
You're mostly in the air.
I feel like this is something they're doing because it's going to be in Paris. Because, like, when we were in Paris, every friggin' corner has got a giant group of people and breakdancers in the middle of it. So it's still huge over there. But like over here, if somebody was breakdancing on the corner downtown, you'd be like,
I'd watch.
Out of here.
No, if you go to New York City, they're all over the place.
Yeah, but that's like just, I think.
The street performers.
Yeah.
Times Square.
Yeah.
You know.
But like even like any park, there's a bunch of street performers doing breakdancing and stuff like that. It's still a very popular form of dance in America.
It must be.
Yeah.
In America?
Yeah.
It's hard.
Well,
it's really hard.
I mean, they've added it to the Olympics. They voted down chess.
Oh my god!
And some
what?
Other things.
How boring would that be? Are you kidding?
There's plenty of boring stuff in the Olympics. Watch curling.
That's
you
athletic.
You ever watch swimming?
Chess?
It's all boring.
Yeah.
Most
Olympic events are incredibly boring.
At least in swimming,
athletic.
It's a competition. There's people racing.
Yes, chess is also a competition.
You're sitting there like, meh.
It ain't
but
athletic.
But people who like chess would be into that.
Mm-hmm. Is that a huge thing?
Get
I'm sure it is,
out of here.
But chess. Who even recommended that?
I don't know.
Someone
who has never
checkers?
Been an
how about checkers? Is checkers so okay?
That's more exciting than chess.
Is it?
I don't know.
Why?
Yeah, because I know how to play it.
You can.
Because I understand those
rules. You can say king me.
Right. Jenga or Connect Four. Can we get those instead?
Giant Jenga. That should be.
That would be lit.
But you got to be drunk while you're playing it.
Right.
It's got to be at a brewery.
And it has to be like a legit like size of a skyscraper like Jenga.
Then you can't handle it, or you can't have it.
You have to get terrorism.
Well, I like their PC lingo, though, for explaining the inclusion of breakdancing. We're trying to make the Olympics gender-balanced, more youth-focused, and more urban. Wink, wink. So, yeah. Breakdancing was part of the last Olympics. Yeah. But Japan won last time, and Russia also won. So, sorry, America. I mean, did it start here? I feel like it started, here.
Yeah.
When I think breakdancing, I think Russia, for sure. Mm. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Right.
I will breakdance you.
Ah! Boy. So anyway, whatever. It has its roots in New York City.
New York City!
But they got beat by Japan and Russia.
And we got third?
I don't know.
I don't know if we
bronze. Yeah. I'm sorry. Not third in the Olympics.
Bronze for bronze.
They're trying to get parkour into the Olympics too, but that's
parkour,
not
parkour.
Yeah, parkour. We call it the building a jumping.
360 gainer into the trash can.
Right. Did you see the video of the lady that tried to flip onto the Vespa or whatever?
No.
I posted it somewhere. I might have retweeted it. Alan Cox Show. A girl that tried to do some parkour onto and then flip onto a Vespa, and she promptly crashes it into the wall and then gets off thinking it's off, but like she hits the clutch or something and it still keeps going and jerks her along with it, or I don't know. I love that kind of stuff. When somebody thinks their motorcycle is off, it's 12 seconds long, but it's great.
The motorcycle was off.
You know what I mean? Like, right. I don't know. They think that they got the brake on or something, and then it just starts taking them for a ride.
Who's got taken for a ride?
The Vespa.
Nothing. I thought you had a clip for that.
For taken for a ride?
Yep.
The CSI one?
I believe so.
Oh, see? Yeah. Your mind's working over there. Mine is not.
It's okay. It's Friday.
I'm Chris Hansen.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
That
yes,
one?
Now.
Yes, no, you're not. Yes, I am. Hold on.
What noise was that?
Did Java Joel doing a contest?
Probably.
Hey, here come the rig to hang the touch tones.
Maybe he got taken for a ride.
There you go. All right.
Oh, that video is great.
So our accident is not an accident at all.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a great video.
We're really not soundproof at all in here. That's crazy.
Well, he's also cranking it to 20.
Still, it's a soundproof studio.
It's
supposed to be.
We're not in a nuclear bunker. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Bunker.
Why can't it be?
Sound dampened.
That's right.
Dampened.
It's very damp in here.
Yeah, damp sound.
In Russia, dance breaks you.
How would you describe your sound? Damp? Gross.
Moist. Moist sound.
Moist. Pretty moist. Audible
moisture. Yeah.
Oh, audible. What? Wait, what?
Audible moisture.
Not audible oneness.
Alan, would Mary's dad play his 70s R&B albums when he fed her off his plate? Did he do that?
No.
You were like, are you sure?
Yes.
Like he'd play his R&B when you were in the car?
No.
And I think of you.
To be your little baby.
Back to Mary karaoke.
Mary-oke.
Mary-oke.
Right.
I'm nailing it. I'm sorry you guys are upset.
Are you?
Hi.
Wish your pipes were as vibrant as your hair.
Alan, your parents sound like mine. The rest of the family's in the living room celebrating my birthday with cake and ice cream. I'm in the kitchen eating cold dinner until it's done. Listen, I don't think my parents would have done that on my birthday. That's a real stick in the ribs to you. You know, nope, rules don't change on your birthday. Still got to sit there and eat that crap that we made for you.
Plus, your parents didn't celebrate your birthday, really, did they?
My parents?
No birthday parties.
We celebrated my birthday. They were just family birthday parties. We never went to, like, you know. Well.
They were sparing you.
From what? Making friends?
No one showed up.
I don't know. I mean, you know.
I had that. That's the worst.
Like I said, I have very spotty memories of my childhood, but they could have thrown me a party at some point, but I certainly do not remember
that. You blacked out.
I never had birthday parties, but I lived in a hoarder house.
We had family birthday parties, like cake, presents, the whole thing. Yeah, I mean,
I'm running out,
you know,
country skate land and invited my whole class.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No, I've gotten more into doing them myself as I've gotten older. But it's been like, hey, here's where I'm going to be with my sisters and a couple friends. Come have dinner with us.
I mean, I got invited to other people's parties, either roller skating or Chuck E. Cheese or what. You know, I always went to other people's parties, but I don't think my parents threw me a birthday party.
If you want to celebrate my birthday tomorrow, I'm doing Bill Squire's birthday bash at the Garage Bar in Willoughby.
How old will you be?
I'm already 37.
You are already 37, yes. So, just to be clear, you will still be 37.
We'll see.
All right.
Who knows?
What'll happen?
Time is a construct.
Time is a flat circle.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can happen at the Garage Bar.
There'll be some flat circles. Oh, I don't know what that means.
Oh, jeez. The opposite of floppers?
Sloppers?
Floppers.
Yeah. No wonder she doesn't like sloppers. Yeah. She wants floppers.
Oh, you want some floppers?
No.
Flapjacks?
I don't like any of that.
Ooh, so scared, chubby wubby.
Want to send me a text? AlanCoxShow.com. All the other stuff, the live video stream is there. You can share and subscribe and like and comment and all that. And you can listen on the iHeartRadio app. Wherever you are, if you do that from out of state, let me know where. We'll put you on the map. Amanda is a new bureau chief in Cary, North Carolina. I haven't mapped that out yet, but she did hit me up. Cameron listens in Waldorf, Maryland. Of course, home to the salad. Ben is in Greenville, South Carolina. Brad is in Yukon, Oklahoma. It sounds silly that I map all these out, but I want to make sure that they're actual places. Somebody can, anyone could email me and say, hey, I'm listening in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky.
I get that.
Like Paige did. I got to make sure. But, you know. Why you'd make up a location, I don't know.
Bored.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Got nothing else going
on.
Maybe
you're listening in Board, Florida.
Mm.
Why not? Next week on the show, I will have tickets for you for the Cleveland Comic Con. Wizard World Comic Con is the 8th through the 10th of March. So if you're trying to get into that, they got a lot of good people coming. Jason Momoa is going to be there too. Tickets for Kid Rock, Bash at the Bay. Kid Rock and Uncle Cracker are doing the show this year, August 29th at the Put-in Bay Airport. Tickets for Breaking Benjamin, Young the Giant. When we were on the limo, Stateman Limousine got us to Boston Mills Brandywine for the Polar Blast. And they're always playing videos in there. And I was like, wow, whatever happened to Fitz and the Tantrums? Remember the gray-haired guy and the black girl? Fitz and the Tantrums.
Yeah, yeah.
They had a couple of
they're
big songs.
Town, right?
They are. They're on that Young the Giant tour. I was like, oh, there you go. All right. So if you like Fitz and the Tantrums, they're going to be playing Nautica end of June.
That was the video where none of their dancers had faces.
That's right.
Yeah, they were all...
Make your hands clap. Yeah. Right. For a while, they were like writing car commercial music.
Yeah.
Cavaliers won last night.
What?
They beat the Phoenix Suns, who go to 11-47.
Wow.
Cavs 111-98. Didn't even let them break three digits.
Do you know Brody Stevens?
The comedian.
Yes. He died.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
What?
I just found out right now. Yeah.
How?
Didn't he have some issues, by the way?
He did have some issues.
Yes.
Lots of issues. I don't know.
Really?
That's nuts.
Wow. I literally just says...
Where'd you find this out? Twitter?
Someone texted me, and then it's on Twitter, yeah.
I saw Paul F. Tompkins was tweeting about it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. He wasn't that old.
He was young, yeah.
40-something, maybe, early?
Yeah. 48.
Oh, he was that old? Oh, I didn't think he was that old.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's like 8 tweets about this. It just broke. He had a show on HBO Labs called Brody Steven Bro... Something like that. It was about him and his life. Very interesting comic. If you don't know who he is a staple of the Comedy Store, and he would be one of those guys that they'd have at the end of the night to go up and be like the last comic of the night.
2 a.m., yeah.
And he could kill.
He could kill in those situations where... The crowd's been there all night, they're drunk, they're rowdy, and he would just go up there and destroy.
Whitney Cummings tweeted about him a minute ago. Paul F. Tompkins. Wow.
That is nuts, man.
Esther Pavitsky.
No one is saying why or...
I'm getting some info right
Brody Stevens, by the way, for comedy nerds, for a long time, I would consistently confuse him with Ted Alexandro.
Yeah,
by the way,
they
too.
Look very similar.
Yeah. Well, that's a bummer.
Neil Hamburger's tweeting about him. Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Mm.
He was on that oddball comedy tour with Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
Last go-round of that tour he was on.
That's such a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you are a comedy fan, Brody Is Me Friend was his handle on Twitter.
Yeah.
If you followed him.
That's crazy.
And his last tweet was that he was ready to get back on the festival circuit. And that was yesterday he tweeted that. Yeah, well, there you go.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
So abrupt. Did he have a disease or something? You said problem.
I think he was in recovery, wasn't he?
Yeah, mental problems, some recovery
addiction
problems,
things
like that. So he's it's very sad.
Well, what a bummer way to end the show on Friday.
Right.
Somebody else who died abruptly was this guy, Nick Cafardo, who was the Red Sox beat reporter for the Boston Globe. He'd been writing about them for 30 years. He collapsed at the spring training clubhouse and died. 62. So
now
if you're
the Patriots
Bo Sox,
need a beat reporter.
Right. He's like, oh, why couldn't I be writing about Robert Kraft? So somebody check Terry Pluto's ticker just to make sure that everybody's feeling okay. But, yeah, boy, you're covering your team, and he had an embolism. What is that, a bubble in your brain?
That's an aneurysm.
That's an aneurysm.
Because
I know there's, I think, is in the heart.
It's a blocking of an artery.
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's a pulmonary embolism. Yeah. There's different kinds. There's an air embolism, like when you get bubbles in your blood.
Yeah.
That's why they got to be so careful
when they give you a shot. Yeah.
That's why I don't like needles so much. I don't like getting my blood drawn and stuff because I'm so terrified that they're going to put it the wrong way and get an air bubble.
That's why they always do the little squirt. You know, when I used to shoot up, you got to bring your own rig, man. Right, you got to keep the spike clean. Yep.
Tie it off with your face.
Well, sure. You know?
If you're savage.
If you're doing drugs through your veins, savage.
I just don't. Once you get that abscess, you got to switch to the main vein, baby. Right in the back of the neck. I know. What, pound cake?
I think just people are just dropping like flies, and I don't know why anyone would...
Well, people die every day. There are a lot of unfamous people who died, too.
I know. I'm just saying, I don't know why anyone would text drugs, like, for the purpose of...
Oh. Drugs are great.
Yeah, have you... Try some drugs.
I've never done anything other than...
Let's drugs.
Yeah, let's drugs, man.
It's good, but it's taking time off your life.
Everything's... Breathing the air is taking time off your life.
And not, you know, 35, whatever you're going to live to. It's worth having some experiences, isn't it?
I was just talking about that last night. I don't really mess with psychedelics, but maybe bucket list thing, like acid. I don't know. It weirds me out because I have anxiety, and I'm like, I hear these horrible, horrible stories of people having these terrible trips. And I'm like, I don't think I'd be able to handle a bad trip.
It's really a coin flip. I did acid one time, and it was fine, but they kind of say that it amplifies what you, kind of your
personality,
your temperament already. So if you're somebody who's kind of glass half full, you might not have an awesome trip. You know. And these days, like...
Or half empty.
Listen,
half empty.
What did I say?
Glass half full.
That's a positive person, right?
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay. With your attitude, should have put a finger wave in there. Jeez.
I leave the air Z's to pound cake.
Whatever.
Psst. Yeah, glass half empty. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Conversely, a friend of mine who took acid sat on a chair for 6 hours because he thought the floor was trying to eat him.
Right.
So, right.
Well, and it's all about how much you do and yada, 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 the environment.
Well, and you've always... Listen, it's always been smart to know your dealer.
Right.
These days, who knows what the hell's going on? Like, in my mind, now is a great time to, like, not be doing drugs.
I have no idea what's in it, man. That's the thing.
But live a little. You know, life's about experience.
Well, no, that's what I was saying is, like, that's
you dying's a good story for us.
I
remember that, Bill. I will come back and haunt your ass.
Go ahead.
You can't get rid of me.
Go ahead and haunt me
all
you want.
I can't wait for that to be when you realize
that's a great sitcom.
Surreal.
I want that sitcom.
I'm just going to call all
Bill and his ghost.
I'm going to go to your website when I'm dead and just go to all the places where you're supposed to be booked and then just call in like,
you're not going to be that busy.
I will have nothing else to do.
I'll be waiting around for a while. I'm building an updated website.
There was an old, like, 30s movie, and they turned into a sitcom later on called Topper about, like, a guy who would, like, haunt somebody. Pound Cakes is going to be Popper. He's going to die from doing anal poppers.
Poppers?
You didn't do poppers in Toronto?
Oh, I did do poppers.
That's a heavy amyl nitrate.
No, it is not. Poppers gets you high for like 30 seconds.
But it's hard on your heart. Mm-hmm. It's a hard 30 seconds.
Is that
seconds.
Like that nitrous or whatever?
It's a very concentrated form.
It makes you horny AF. You take a popper and you're like open. Like,
and then you're down
a
couple minutes later? Those drugs I don't understand. I don't understand the 20-minute drugs. It makes no sense.
It's not 20 minutes. It's literally, you get a high, it's almost for just like the... Sorry. Insertion. It's literally like that. People who have a hard time with that, you take it, you're like, put it in, and then Okay.
That's it?
Yep.
This doesn't seem worth it to me.
But you keep doing it. You can keep doing it for like 30 seconds.
It's like for people who like huff paint and want to graduate to something, you know.
Yeah, it's a 30 second high.
It's the same thing I don't understand about Coke, where people, I mean, you're high for 20 minutes. Like, what's the point?
That's why you can do more Coke.
But that's it's so expensive. It's so expensive. I don't understand.
Pancake's favorite song.
Yeah, let's end this Friday.
Yes, I'm not even going to say this, but like it was.
It was?
Alan, yeah.
It what?
Here. Look, I'm just showing you something.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I just don't want to do another bummer right now. I do coke. Now we got this going on. So I can work longer. So I can earn more. So I can do more coke. I do coke. So I can work longer. So I can earn more. So I can do more coke.
Well, that is a bummer, boy.
Yeah.
To one day tweeting about how you're excited to get back on the road, and then the next day you're deed. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. He recently expressed disappointment over negative reactions to a comedy special he had taped.
Jesus oh, Lord. Christ.
Yeah. Suicide.
Don't read the comments. Don't read the comments.
No.
Never read the comments.
I never have. I mean, I have videos on YouTube and stuff like that. I don't even look at them. I don't pay attention to it. I'm like, I need this to send to bookers. I don't care what other people think.
There was a very well-liked anchor in L.A., KTLA, where that Henry DiCarlo is, the Hugh Janus guy. Right? We play that clip all the time.
What?
Hugh Janus. Right.
We do love.
Christy and Joe Horton, 9th anniversary, and Hugh Janus turning 10. We'd mentioned...
I'm sorry.
What? I love that.
It's one of those.
I totally fell for it, didn't I?
I think it was a trick.
I think you're right.
What? Anyway, there's a guy named Chris Burris. There are probably people here in the television market who might know Chris Burris, but he was a very well-liked anchor at KTLA in Los Angeles. And he died not long ago. They found him in a motel. Now, there was, I don't think there was any indication that this guy was into anything freaky. But he died. He met a guy on Grindr and he put a rock of meth in his ass.
Oh my gosh.
So this guy was looking to like wild out.
Yeah.
Right? Accidental death.
Overdose?
He set up a meeting with a man at a motel in Glendale, which is a largely Armenian suburb. It's where one of my best friends lives in Glendale. So I know exactly where this motel is. Two guys met on Grindr and had hooked up multiple times in the past. Now, I don't know if this guy was openly out or what it was. And again, the other guy, I think, is the one who filled in the gaps, if you will, for the police on the story. The guy answered the door fully nude. The anchor, TV anchor, had set up the room with DJ-style lighting, toys, lube, and a massage bench. And then he and the other dude went crazy.
Damn.
And he put a rock of meth up there. He gave the dude a syringe full of human growth hormone and a bottle of Gatorade.
What?
Well, you gotta rehydrate. Get those electrolytes.
What is HGH gonna do?
Huh?
Human growth hormone. What is that gonna do sexually?
I don't know. Got him going.
Give you a, I don't know, really? probably like doing like testosterone or something.
You probably get a little rush or something. Yeah. And then used poppers.
Poppers?
He put another rock in there.
Jeez.
Before putting on a mask while the guy got his hand up in there. Maybe he wanted the rock back.
I was like, is he trying to get it back?
He told the guy he was feeling fine until the man noticed him vomiting inside his mask.
Oh, no.
He was taken to the hospital after called 911. So this guy went out in a blaze of glory.
He wanted to go. Well, he didn't want to go, but he's like, this is going to be a night. This is going to be.
That's a nightmare.
This guy was
throwing up in a mask.
Yes.
He might suffocate or drown.
Or choke on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This guy left a wife and a daughter.
Oh, boy.
So they got to find all this out. He had no history of any kind of drug abuse. All of the people who worked with him were like, we love this guy. He was great. But they had no idea any of this was going on. So not only does anybody know that you're engaging in that activity, but when you go out big. You're going out big.
That's not
who did his eulogy.
I don't know.
Probably the guy on Grindr.
You know who Don Nelson is, by the way? Nelson is the winningest coach in NBA history.
Oh, yeah.
Coached the Warriors. I mean, he hasn't coached for 10 years, I don't think. But he coached the Warriors. He coached the Kings. He's won 1,000 games or something. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. And if you want to see an amazing 10-year challenge, you know, you'd see people's pictures 10 years side by side. The 10-year challenge for Don Nelson is amazing because he just looks like kind of a pudgy coach 10 years ago. Now he's got a beard, long gray hair, and he's smoking a lot of pot because he lives in Hawaii and he's hanging out with Willie Nelson.
Nice.
He was at a press conference and they were asking him about it.
Don who?
Don Nelson.
Basketball. Coach, I know you live in Hawaii, right? So.
Yeah, I've been smoking some pot.
But I never smoked when I played or coached, so I just, it's new to me. But anyway, I'm doing that, and I'm having a pretty good time. It's more legal now than it's ever been, and so I'm enjoying that. And I personally am involved with rent in the rental business. We have a lot of, I invested my fortune.
I mean, the guy barely looks like the same guy when you see them back to back. Don Nelson tenured, it's crazy.
Anyway. I like how candid he is about it. Like, I'm just smoking pot.
I'm smoking a lot of pot. I'm 78 years old. I don't care. I'm having a good time. Yeah. All right. Well, RIP Brody Stevens.
Yeah, that's
sad. And RIP Chris Burris out there at KTLA. Our brother in broadcasting.
And now I must leave you as the Brady Bunch is on, and I find four of those children incredibly arousing. Get out of here.
Be careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet. One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember, obedience pays. Screen. Remember, it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink unless you can double think. You'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.